Welcome to Crippled System, episode 166, all new war, hashtag.
I add hashtags at the end now. It's a new way of doing hashtags.
You just do hashtags constantly.
At the end of things. You say the thing, and then you hashtag. Instead of hashtag blah, you do the word, then hashtag taking over the Twitter.
That's not how you do it.
Hashtag.
Yeah, see, the hashtag is second.
But do you pound spell hashtag. Or do you use the symbol?
Oh, you also spell it out.
Okay.
As long as you spell it hashtag at the end of what you type, you get a special, because that's you search by the front hashtag for some things, but for the really cool things, you search on the word hashtag at the end.
I don't think that's true.
Hashtag it's pound sign.
It's on Witter.com. It's a
slightly. You guys aren't doing the hashtag symbol, though. You gotta go like that.
No.
That's what Jimmy Fallon taught me.
It means waffle.
Is it this way? Is it this way?
With three fingers, it means waffle.
Waffle? I'm waffles.
Not a fan of Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon tweets.
Those are amazing.
That's actually not Jimmy Fallon.
They are amazing.
That's Jimmy Kimmel,
who is the good Jimmy. Jimmy Fallon's the talentless pile of shit who doesn't deserve a fucking dollar.
He brought us the karaoke stuff.
Yeah, he does the karaoke.
Not the karaoke, the rap battles, he calls them.
It's lip sync battles.
Yes. Which are some of the best things ever.
Did he bring that or his undeservedly talented writing crew bring that? Because he's fucking terrible.
He's pretty good.
He laughs at everything. Just everything.
He does. That's why he's terrible.
You're just jealous you can't find life as amusing as he does.
He finds everything really amusing. He's whimsical.
He's the anti-Nate.
He has lots of fun games that I would like to play with a couple people.
While you were in a drive-thru raging, he would have been just like smiling and cheering and singing and just been happy. And be like, I love waiting at McDonald's.
When I was in theater and stand-up and improv, I was a fucking professional and I didn't break the fourth fucking wall. But I'm not a billionaire now, so I guess that was my mistake.
Also, there is no fourth wall now that he is a talk show host. He's just supposed to laugh and giggle and talk to the audience. That's his job.
I guess that's true.
Deadpool does it. It works for him.
Yeah. Fair. And you love Deadpool.
We have exactly one watcher.
One too many. Hi, watcher. How are you?
I had a surprisingly large number of people watching me yesterday.
I heard it was hilarious. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on.
I was trying very hard to help.
I was drunk playing Fallout 4 survival mode. After 5 hours, I got my loincloth. I was so happy because that was the last run for sure because it was quarter after 12 and people needed to go to bed.
You were pretty unhappy at 11. And I was like, you're fighting the things. I'm like, going to bed, you son of a bitch. And you're just shooting shotguns and then you're randomly all over the place. You're like blowing off the ceiling. And you're just like hitting the wall.
That's not how you use a shotgun.
I'm like, you have a VAT.
VATS is amazing for shotguns.
The first time I went into VATS, I pulled up VATS, and then the tutorial popped up, and then the thing killed me while the tutorial was on the screen. So I'm like, no more VATS.
VATS betrayed me. I went to a doctor to heal because I was under radiation poisoning, but unfortunately it was a doctor that was in the radiation area. So even during the conversation, I clicked heal me doc from radiation, and I died before she could activate doing it. So I died of radiation trying to get radiation cure because I wasn't fast enough on clicking.
You need the radiation drugs.
Spoiler, don't be a cannibal.
Yeah.
Don't. Remember how I said like the more you use it, eventually other food won't satisfy you and it'll do less and less? Apparently it's if you use it once, all other food has zero effect forever. And that's fucking terrible.
That's horrific.
There are not enough corpses on that planet to satiate hunger.
Well, there's a lot of corpses.
No, okay.
In survival mode, you have to eat constantly.
No, I know, but there are a lot of corpses. Do you drag the corpses around with you?
No.
Can you can the corpse?
No.
Did you even look into these things?
I did. You fucking can't. I mean, maybe if I murdered everyone, I like never tried doing any quests and all I did was eat to feed the hunger. But no.
The level one perk. The level one perk is only people. The level two is like, so once you get level
and
three,
super mutants.
So eventually.
And then you're fine.
Yeah.
But so as you get level one, you don't use it. And then you get level two, and then maybe you use it.
Too late. And my guy is just starving to death constantly. Piper is not happy that I just murder random merchants.
I would imagine
I'm hungry.
I'm sorry, Piper, just shoving entrails in my mouth.
I gave my character like a 3 intelligence because I wasn't going to go the intelligence route, but then I realized that I needed the high robot skill for the DLC, and I really need to be a being a chemist is critical in that fucking inversion. So I'm like, I put like 5 levels into my end so I can get chemist because I can make like refreshing drinks and like stim packs and stuff.
Why didn't you have the dog if you're a cannibal?
He doesn't care, and strong thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah, once I get strong, I'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah,
but just Piper, not so much.
I'm level like 14, and Super Mutants still just roll me. I'm sneaking into the library to get the bobblehead. I haven't figured out. I died like 5 times trying to get out. But I'm going to get fucking out because I need the fucking bobblehead.
For the intelligence?
Yeah, I'm going to have to like take every drug and just sprint.
That's what I did to get my loincloth the final time.
He's like, just to jet every time up there.
We clear the first level, and then the second level, I'd be like, Piper, go through that door. And she'd go in, and then I would just close the door, and then you'd just hear gunshots and screaming. That's how I did the second floor.
Yeah. That's an approach.
I think that was Coach Welton helping out with that.
Go in there.
Which also helped. I tried teaching Nathan to close the door all the time when he went into rooms, and that was very bad at times. Partially one of the times was probably my favorite is when Nathan ran into. Have you been in the comic shop there?
Yeah.
Okay, so like once you get in, you go to your left, and there's like a back room there.
Yeah, where the safe is.
Yeah. So I watched Nathan go running back there, and he was laying down mines.
Sure. At the doorway. So I could back up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So watching him go run around that corner, go to turn, lay down the mine at a ghoul's foot.
Like I was holding the button, I turn around to throw the mine, and he's just like, "Hello." Reload previous save.
I watched probably 7 or 8 reloads before I went to bed. I'm like, you know, this is gonna be a while. I need to be up early in the morning to play Jeremy some more.
I was trying to show off a gameplay thing too, because it all went well the first time. Like I didn't die. I went through Concord and I killed all those motherfuckers.
And I'm like, how is he fucking doing this? He should not be getting this lucky.
It was amazing. Like nothing touched me, and I survived. Like something, I got down to like 1 hit point and live from it. I kill all these raiders. I get like a clutch grenade and I clear out the thing. And I'm like, oh, I want to show people something neat you can do, because they have those like those canisters of propane.
Sure,
and they're a weapon you can use, because if you hit like the end where the valve is, they'll shoot off like a rocket. Sure. So I stabbed the valve and it exploded instantly and killed me. And I'm like, that's not how that goes.
Apparently, it is.
And then 8 tries later, he finally makes it through it.
The game punished me for my hubris, because it was another hour and a half before I got back to that point.
It was, well, no, even getting to the point, Nathan, in his drunken state, kept on, when he was walking to the comic book shop, there was 3 ghouls that would appear, and he would always turn
around. Like right in the doorway?
No,
halfway there on the street.
He would always turn around to look at them. And then Piper would engage them, and then they would kill Piper, and then Nathan would have to go back and try to save her, which always involved him then dying.
20% of the time, I killed him. 20% of the time, that happened. 60% of the time, we got past.
Ghouls are a big pain in Survivor Mode early mode, because you can't get hit by them. They do so much damage. So you like need a shotgun, and if you miss, you're just dead.
And Nathan's rants about the shotguns when he refused to use Vass.
Oh, my God. Vass is so good with them. And you're just watching you. Because the more you use Vass, you get those. You can save up those crits. And you can,
that's a game mechanic.
Yep. Crits are pretty. That's a thing.
I forgot how to play Fallout.
Watching, and I had to keep yelling, you use drugs. And then you got a little bit farther when you started doing the drugs again.
Drugs are great. I forgot.
I came across one of those damn bears. I killed it. I turned around. He's like, there was his brother. I'm like, holy fuck, took every single drug. I made it out. I was like wounded, mauled, every bad negative effect. I'm just crawling away from both bears. I'm like, I'm selling this fucking meat now. I need some money to buy a bullet.
To end the whole thing, I don't know if Nathan actually saves his streams on Twitch.
I will. It's on there. I'll export it or whatever.
Okay. Because, I could. If you send me the file, I could edit it down to just Nathan's deaths.
The two things I would want to see is all deaths and then splice out every run that ended in failure. So just take, like, you know, up to the save points, like when I sleep, and then from that sleep to the next successful sleep.
That's just you looking amazing.
I'm curious how long those 5 hours should have taken.
Oh, I still, even though I'm like level 13 or 14 now on my survival mode, and I die much less, I still waste a good hour a night of however long I play. I still just have to reload, because you're like, man, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I have a mission to go in a water power plant where I have to go through super mutants, I got to kill the super mutants, which I can't kill. Then they have the super crabs at the bottom, which I can barely kill. If I, like, put my entire, like, team together and we spend 4 hours, I can kill one. So I have to go through an armada of super mutants and then those things at the bottom. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that until maybe level 300. And then at 300, they'll be all super things. Maybe in 10 levels I'll try that place, but that power plant terrifies me.
Which power plant?
It's a power plant.
The water treatment plant where you have to drain the water like level by level to reclaim it. It's on the western third.
Like the guy that's hammering at the generator at the top.
No, it's Grey Garden. If it's for Grey Garden.
The robot garden place, they tell you to go reclaim it, and it's you have to like drain the water.
Right. Okay, now I hear
you. So it's waves of super mutants followed by waves of killer crabs.
Yeah, the crabs are terrible.
And so are super mutants.
They're terrible not in survival mode. Those crabs used to
mold. Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah, and imagine them doing 20% more damage to you.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
Seems terrible. Imagine you having terrible guns because
your guns are shitty.
Yeah.
I don't have guns. Well, I do. I just don't use
them. When you sit survival melee mode, I'm like, man, he's going to die so many times. I'm glad you at least, you're like melee plus shotguns because shotguns kind of like a melee weapon. It's close range.
Yeah, close enough.
And the thing is, I keep forgetting, like, I keep not using the shotgun because I'm like, I'm not good with guns, but I am perception 5.
Yeah.
Like, that's halfway up. It's intelligence, charisma, and agility that I'm at 1.
Yeah, low intelligence is going to hurt because there's so many things you're going to want with higher intelligence. But, well, that's life.
No drugs.
And my charisma is low, too, which makes me sad because in survival mode, nothing would be better than to link all your communities because that way you could transfer things. But I'm like, I'm not doing it either. Like, I'm watching Jordan. Like, all Jordan's doing is building out in a web from the community and just connecting everything. So he's like this network that's just slowly covering
them. He's doing survival mode, too.
Yeah. He's doing it the smart way, but my last character did charisma, so I'm not going to do two charisma characters in a row. It's just,
that's fair.
I think I'm going to do tomorrow is going to be my Vault of July. I'm gonna do kind of what Nathan's doing is do a stream as well.
That'd be fun.
So what triggered you guys to all play Fallout?
Well, Expansion came out.
Well, Survival Mode just came out within the last month.
We all played it heavily last November, December.
Sure. Right.
I did not.
You did not.
I did.
And I mean 100% of it. We played a lot. Nathan played it a ton. It's just, but now there's been 4 DLCs and the Survival Mode came out, and there's another big DLC coming out like in a month. So I figure by that time playing it, I always knew I was gonna go back and play a new character. Just the Survival Mode really.
I was really tempted to get back into it with Survival Mode, except we started playing Crusader Kings 2 with the new expansion, which has been murdering us.
Game of Thrones mod.
You would.
I really enjoy the classic. The classic game's amazing.
But you guys like Game of Thrones, right? You want to play Daenerys? Do you want to send dragons? I mean, you like dragons?
The mod is amazing.
I've heard the mod's really well done.
Yeah.
Well, first we have to beat Conclave. We'll
beat Conclave and then get the Game of Thrones. You guys would love that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I looked into the DLC. I didn't look into it. It's not even a DLC. It's like a community made mod. Yeah.
That's why we called it a
mod. That's been out for years. I either have to go to your guys' place for like a week or to John Acker's place for a week and just watch one of you people play Crusader Kings because I almost get it, but I still don't quite get it.
Well, I'll be honest, with the new expansion, we don't quite get it. I'm not sure.
We're getting better.
We also picked an incredibly hard start intentionally.
Right.
Like the correct way to start.
You aren't the shitty Polish ones again, are you?
No, we're in France in the
early. I heard that was bad in Civ 5.
That was.
Because you had like garbage cavalry or something. Why were you bemoaning your Polish?
Well, we started as Polish people in Crusader Kings, and they were just all dumb.
They were all, like, literally, like, it was like a 50-50 like chance they heard all the Polak jokes, and they were like,
let's run with the Polak jokes.
Yeah, literally. Like, they all had, like, low stats and, like, bad traits, and it was just like, the only people that would be decent was we'd bring in out people from outside who would hate us because they weren't Polish.
I like the early version of Crusader Kings. You have a couple kids, and one's really dumb. It's like, well, I guess I have to kill that child somehow. So you have to spend a lot of time.
They made it really hard to kill your own kids now. They made it so
what a statement.
Like it used to be pretty trivial. You could just be like, you go join a monastery, and they'd be like, oh, I guess I'm disinherited.
But if they're
inheriting anything, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
You can't kill your own kids ever.
No, that's not true. You can't kill anyone who's inheriting. You could kill like your second kid, I think.
No, you can't kill your own children. You can kill your grandchildren that are actively inheriting, but not your own children.
And then I thought that the intrigue focus you could...
The intrigue focus lets you do some things sometimes. Like you can like spy on your kids and then like find out that they're like either find out they are or fabricate a reason that they're a bad person and then throw them in jail.
And the thing is because the game is you play a family lineage, you know, that you will eventually be playing that kid, so you want the smartest kid.
Well, no, if you disinherit them, then the second kid will inherit instead.
But anyway, you want to make sure whoever's the inheritance is the smartest.
Yeah, because the worst thing in the world is to have 5 sons and to have the 5th one to be a genius and you're like, damn it. Like, that's terrible.
Well, at that point, and then you have to get rid of, like,
can you send them up to bad wars?
So you can try. It used to be fairly high chances that you could just, if they had a low martial skill, you're just like, go command an army. And you just throw them into a war and, like, they just die. And they made the odds of a commander dying, like, way lower as well because people were abusing that. It's just like, damn it.
Go lead that army over there. Oh, my son died.
What a shame. Too bad. Or, like, you get your son imprisoned by some other king, and you're like, man, that's too bad. I'm going to not pay his ransom and hope he dies in jail. Yeah.
Now, that game is amazing, and I just need to find time to watch someone play it. Because I just need to understand the combat better, is what I need to do.
You could come over almost any time and watch us play.
Well, it takes forever to make progress.
Right.
All right. But anyway, we talk about video games for 20
Anyway,
I'm Nathan.
I'm Brian.
I'm Katie.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Andy.
Hooray.
The original five. Crew back again, forever together again.
Back in black. So everyone has seen all the Cersei online, the memes.
I didn't show Katie the one about Overwatch because she doesn't
play. So the Overwatch play of the day is play the game is pretty amazing. Also, they
the delay before Tommen is the best part.
Yeah. And then today I saw that they redid the whole first scene with Let It Go from Frozen.
That I have
Frozen.
Not seen yet, and I need to watch.
I did not
see I love that. The Cersei how to separate church and state or whatever, the how-to guide by Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, that episode was amazing. Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, how does someone who doesn't watch Game of Thrones get spoiled by? I mean, they might not have context, or someone's like, I have so many... I have
friends that don't watch the show. They've read like the first two books. And they get upset when I talk to other friends about what's happening currently in the show. I'm like, I'm sorry, but you're three books behind and five seasons behind. You've given up on the right of spoilers.
Back when there I'll go first.
I was just going to say, the show is such a cultural touchstone right now that it's impossible to not be spoiled, so I've given up.
Yeah,
having pity for people getting spoiled.
And the thing I was gonna touch on that because like back when there was like less chance, like when MASH ended, there was like 100 million people watched the end of MASH, and how like 70 million people watched the end of Cheers, and there's so few shows. This is one of those shows that just it doesn't get those ratings, obviously, but for a TV show, it is the highest rated thing.
Yep.
So you know it's the closest we get to those cultural milestones where the vast majority of people are watching it.
So like Seinfeld, at its peak, you, the day after Seinfeld, everyone else would talk about the episode of Seinfeld with each other. If you didn't watch Seinfeld, it was just your own fault.
Well, and also Friends.
I know that's spoilers.
No, but that's not my point. My point is when 80% of the television watching public watches a show on the day it comes out and they're all going to talk about it, it's your fault for choosing to be in the 20%.
And people people that are like, oh, I watch it. Like, whatever, after the fact on HBO Go. Like, I can't watch it on Sundays. I watch it on Tuesdays. Like, I don't even mind giving people a week. I'm talking about people that are like, I'm four seasons behind and three books behind. Don't spoil it.
Yeah, fuck those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they've given up the right. Well, and then they're not actively reading it.
Yeah.
Hey.
Exactly.
I was that guy.
I know.
Yeah. I was that guy. And actually, everybody was pretty damn respectful.
But
was different. Because that was the book. That was the show that hadn't caught the book yet. And that I respect.
Yes, that's different.
If you don't want to read the book... That's fine.
Like, we were talking about current TV episode stuff in front of Jim, who does not watch the show. He's just like, I don't want to watch the show. I'm just going to read the books. Well, we're spoiling shit for you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, it was your choice to not watch Game of Thrones like every other human being does. Right. So you get spoiled.
And you have multiple friends that you could watch it with. It's not like, man, I don't have access. Like,
Well, and then the other thing is, like, so much of, like, the spoilers... People have guessed about what they're going to be for so long that they don't even really feel like...
And even as a book reader, things are like we know every major event's going to happen in the books, probably. Sure. But certain people are going to die in different ways. There's all sorts of subtle changes
That are just different in the books.
Yeah. Well, the show is not going to spoil anything about Lady Stoneheart's plotline.
Nope.
Yeah, you know, so you got stuff like that still, but...
Yeah. But yeah, like, that's the thing, Andy. It's like, I had no problem. Like, we could talk about the TV episode that had happened that Sunday. Mm-hmm. We just couldn't talk about things that were three books away still because we were in season two of the show.
Right. Plus,
that's
different. Right. And like many people who did read the books, we wanted everyone to truly suffer during the Red Wedding. Like, that's why that was the joy of all books.
We enjoyed you not knowing about that.
Yeah. Just so we could sit back. And then, you know, when Hodor died, we're all like, what happened?
No, Hodor.
Oh man!
You know what?
They made her pregnant
just
to make that worse.
I know.
Oh yeah, Summer. Yeah, that was
like the most pointless death in the whole series.
It had an incredibly valid point. Those fucking wolves are expensive to CGI.
Well, that's fine. I understand.
That sounds like people are like, why wasn't Ghost helping at the battle? Well, it was Ghost or a giant, and they picked the giant, and they chose.
Plus, let's be fair. Everything they don't CGI means more budget for the dragons, and they've been fucking hitting that out of the park.
The dragons.
So if we have to lose a little bit of direwolves, which are amazing for more dragons, which holy crap, dragons, my erection.
The dragons are more like wyverns, though. They're not actually dragons.
They're
dragons.
Fucking dragons.
They're wyverns.
They're dragons.
Wyvern. Wyvern is the term dragons used by the legs. French to refer to the dragons in the coat of arms. No, dragons don't have four legs. Most dragons actually are depicted with two legs and two wings, like Smaug. And
Not the D&D I grew up with.
Vermithrax Pejorative has two legs and two wings, and fuck you, Vermithrax Pejorative is the greatest giant in the history of cinema.
Dragon.
That dragon. I watched that movie.
It's a giant.
Dragon,
the number of times I have
Vermithrax Pejorative is the greatest everything.
I have watched that movie... more than maybe many other movies that exist. Very few movies I've seen more than what that movie?
I don't know.
Dragon Slayer.
Dragon Slayer.
The live action Disney film. Yeah,
that dragon still holds up to some pretty good degree.
There are some flaws in that movie, but the depiction of that dragon is not one of them. They really, I saw behind the scenes about it, and they really, really put their heart into making that dragon.
Yeah, the movie might have flaws, but it's still so enjoyable. Yeah. And it holds up.
Go watch Dragon Slayer.
They could have just had Summer go run off into a wolf pack, though.
Except that or might die, actually have plot reasons.
Or die in a slightly less bitch
die
way.
A way that buys them time or something.
Right, like it didn't even buy him.
It bought him at least one and a half seconds.
I think you're overestimating how much time it bought. Like, she at least could have guarded at a door instead of just jumping into a pile of knives.
Yeah.
Hold the door, Summer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the other thing we have to talk about, not that I want to derail Game of Thrones, I enjoy it, is that Brian finally got to see a farmer's market that wasn't shitty small-town farmer's market.
You guys didn't invite me.
Nope.
Only Andy, four. Was at 7 in the morning.
I would have been up.
Oh, sorry.
I assumed you would not be.
I was not in charge of the invites. So
you were
my
not.
Excuse.
That's true.
Boom.
I was told when it was going to happen.
Well, actually, none of us, it was kind of, because it was on our page, we chatted with each other all using the crippled system handle.
And we did talk about it at Wednesday, and then I thought about it on Saturday. I'm like, I don't think Andy was there on Wednesday, because there was discussion. There was open discussion.
There was an open discussion on Wednesday.
It was an open discussion. You just weren't there for the open discussion.
Yeah, I was off doing some other thing, though.
You saw Weird Al. You saw Weird Al. You had a...
Yeah, I wasn't invited to that, so fuck you. I'm keeping the farmer's market. Yeah.
It was good.
Did you win?
There was a lot of cheese there.
There's a lot of baked goods.
There are.
Oh my god! I spent $60 on cheese and donuts,
and some broccoli. A lot of broccoli.
I spent $10 on broccoli and sugar snap peas. The other $50 were cheese and donuts.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you got those peas. I saw you eating them last night. I'm like, those look really good. I wish I had some of those.
Oh, you could have had some.
I tried new foods. I tried the sweet peas for the first time. Never had those sugar snap peas. Yep. They still aren't that sweet to me. They're fine.
Have you ever had the cheesy bread, the hot spicy cheesy bread before?
It was a little bit too spicy for me. I don't like my bread that spicy. I like it that cheesy. It was good bread.
I think that the big loaf is better than the small loaf. Right. So that's what I decided.
I've actually had the small loaf since we bought it.
The cheese I got was really good. The beef sticks was really good.
The blue cheese we got was amazing. Oh.
Jeremy and I just ate a pound and a half of blue cheese.
And it was the best decision I've made for lunch in a long time.
Good blue cheese.
It was good blue cheese.
I think I'm a little sad. I don't think I don't like. I'm not. I think my palate's too simple to enjoy like great cheese. Like that's I don't mind it. I think if I have cheese like that, it has to be on something.
Well,
I can't eat it plain.
Blue cheese is weird.
Blue cheese is a special taste. But he tried the old cheddar, and he didn't like that either.
I think it wasn't really on anything. I think maybe if it was on some crackers or something. I can just eat a block of.
You can still eat snooty cheeses that don't taste like that. Like be like, oh, I'm a love a good Havarti, like a Danish Havarti. You sound snooty when you say Havarti, and it's still
it's just whatever.
And I got that one kind of cheese that I had made on the skillet that was pretty good. Whatever.
Oh yeah, you got the.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it called?
It translates to bread cheese. It's
the
Swiss name.
The grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's really fucking good, though.
We made grilled cheese for lunch today off the cheese that Katie bought, the beer cheese, and that was amazing.
Yeah. Because there are a lot of more mild tastes. Are sweeter ones or nuttier ones that I like a lot more than like the cheddar.
Fennel cheese we got that one time, which I didn't see fennel cheese when we were there this time. But
I make all of when I make bread and cheese together, what do you call it? Cheese?
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
I nailed it.
Well, yeah,
grilled
cheese.
When I grill it, bread and cheese together.
I was about to say, then you grill it. But anyway, I always use this very fancy cheese. It's made in America. It's called American cheese.
Yeah. That's not real cheese, though.
No, I think you make... Well, there is real American cheese that is real cheese, but he's probably using pasteurized cheese products.
Yeah.
But I grew up very, very poor.
That
was my grilled cheese for so many years. So when I have better grilled cheese, I'm like, I need the taste of the generic cheese.
But the thing is, Brian, I'm less old than you, and I have grown past that point in my life.
I mean, I'm a food snob. I literally went to college
for it.
I'll still, I love the 15-cent ramen.
Yeah?
Like, that's some of my favorite food. Like,
it the can canned be good. Cheese is really good that squirts off of the cracker.
I still enjoy spray cheese.
Yes,
it's
fucking
delicious.
Yes.
It is tasty.
Easy cheese.
It's just that with grilled cheese, American cheese isn't as good.
I feel like
it's very creamy and mild. That's what we're going for. Like putting a cheddar or something on there gets you a much sharper, more potent, kind of hearty sandwich. But that creaminess of the shitty garbage fake cheese is kind of its own thing.
I still enjoy Velveeta melted in a pot with chili.
You Rotel tomatoes in it.
I don't usually, but...
No, just a block of Velveeta and a can of Rotel tomatoes, and that gets you a good queso dip.
There's a really generic cheese I like, too.
I can't think of any of the powdered cheese.
I only like Velveeta cheese when you take a brick of it and a can of Rotel tomatoes and meld it in a crock pot and eat it with chips.
And eat it with chips. And it is amazing.
That's, I like cream cheese a lot.
You do like
What kind of cheese do you like, Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you like about cheese, Andy? He's on his phone.
I feel like I don't need to be brought into this conversation.
Honestly, Provolone tonight. Everybody likes cheese.
Provolone Munster.
Provolone's a good one.
Yeah, I really like
a big Munster guy. Yeah,
I used to eat Munster more. I still like it. I just don't eat it as much as I used to.
I need to do more brie and like camembert. I don't eat those very often.
Brie's delicious.
Yeah,
I like my Havarti.
There you go. Mm-hmm. See, good.
Which is basically provolone.
Yeah, it's softer.
With dill in it?
Well, not always, but I was about to say, so Havarti's a lot softer, like literally squishable, and because it's so mild, they'll put shit like dill in it all the time. It's often flavored, kind of like Wensleydale. You almost never get Wensleydale without fruit inside of it.
Yeah. See, so fancy. Another high-class cheese I like is Colby.
Colby's not bad.
I love Colby.
Colby Jack.
I'm not as big as Colby Jack.
Colby is a kind of cheese. Jack is a kind of cheese.
Monterey Jack.
It's technically Monterey Jack.
Yeah.
And when you put them together, it's Colby Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, I've always just gotten the Colby Jack.
I know.
That's actually, we have that for the burgers I cooked today.
Yeah.
Because I love like the
Colby Jack and Provolone.
Is there a particular cheese they use in St. Louis?
I don't know.
A Velveeta version of Provolone.
Provolone is one of my go-to sandwich cheeses.
That's what I make with sandwiches. Like if I go somewhere like a Subway or whatever and they're like, what kind of cheese? Well, obviously, why are you asking me that? You have Provolone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like throw the rest of the cheese away.
I like spicy cheeses.
Yes.
And like the skinny cow cheeses, those are also delicious.
Those are actually really good.
So. And then the string cheese, that's also delicious.
String cheese is shit that comes in the red wax. Yes. And then you peel off
the baby bells.
Well, you peel off and then you eat the cheese, and then the red wax thing left over, you can pretend it's Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I worked in a cheese factory for a while, and we always whacked. We always like, finally, they'd wax all the cheese, submit the cheddars and wax. I always liked it better once they sealed it in wax and I could eat that cheese, it tasted better.
Yeah.
For no reason, but
it's better. It's been sealed in wax.
Yeah,
it's like Mitch Hedberg's observation that food tastes better when it falls. That's why we like vending machines. So if you just eat a Snickers bar, it's boring. But once it falls 3 feet, it's way more delicious.
I ate one of those sticky buns out of a vending machine for the first time in like years, and they are nasty.
What are?
Sticky buns.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends how long they've been there, I suppose.
I don't know. I forgot my breakfast, and that's what I had, and it was
They're very so dry. Gross.
It was not dry. It was...
You talk about like honey buns that you get in like a vending machine?
Yeah.
With the white frosting on it?
There wasn't white frosting on it. It was like a honey bun.
It's like a clear glaze thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a honey bun. I can only eat those if they're like freshly made at a gas station or like one of those that's in there.
Yeah, and I don't like the sealed ones. Yeah.
I don't like the sealed ones at all. Those are the worst.
They're stale.
You peel off like all the frosting and all the other stuff on it.
Yeah, it's
not good. Stale.
Oh, the ones that's one of the things I hate about them is they're frequently stale.
Well, the baked part and the goo probably had started to interact with each other in a negative way.
It was gross. I do not recommend those.
So I have a new topic and question for Nathan. Did you see that movie?
I did not. Raylene decided that she was not up to watching something that might be artsy fartsy, and instead she just wanted to be horny. So we went and saw Tarzan instead, so she could look at shirtless Alexander Skarsgård for a whole 2 hours, and she enjoyed that.
I would imagine the Daniel Radcliffe one looks like it might be very artsy fartsy.
It might be. I
don't know.
He does weird films.
He does do weird.
I will see it, but
that movie. It is
how was Tarzan?
The fucking definition of weird.
Tarzan was not. Terrible. It was passably mediocre.
What I've heard, which still surprises me.
Passably mediocre. I'll tell it. Much like Gods of Egypt, I don't think the racism thing is as bad as people say it is. Because there's a danger with Tarzan. The thing is, his character's white, and it has to be white. Tarzan's always going to be a white guy because of his background story, and he's in Africa, which means he's rescuing and saving a bunch of black people because people in Africa are black. And so you have the strong white guy rescuing all the weak and whatever. And so it looks really much like the great white savior helping out all the ignorant, weak savages. And so there's that vibe there. But they really avoided it as much as they could. It's just impossible to not have people squint at that.
Yeah, I mean, that's Tarzan.
Well, I thought that Tarzan, he saved all the gorillas. He didn't save people.
No, he was raised by gorillas. He's protecting the African villages from the white colonial invaders. And so then you get like, thanks for saving us, white people, because we couldn't do it on our own because we're ignorant savages.
Right.
And but he's an ignorant savage.
Not now, because this is a sequel. This is like after
they brought him
home. Actually, so there's two good things I'll mention and one bad thing I'll mention. I guess that's two bad things. One is that there's kind of a racy vibe that depending on how much you go into it, you're either... Like, it didn't bug me because I knew that they didn't mean it that way, but some people are really pissed about it.
Sure.
Like, even, like, at the end, there's a scene where he, like, rescues everyone, and then a bunch of savage, African natives just, like, go, hooray, we've been saved by him. And that's the only reason they're there, is to show up and cheer and then leave. Like, they make a big plot point that one of the guys who escapes has to go rally all the tribes and come and save the day, and they just show up in time to go, he did it! High fives all around! The white guy saved us! And then they just leave. I'm like, well, that was unnecessary. But, they do what every fucking Batman and Spider-Man movie should do, which is that we already know who Tarzan is.
Sure.
We already know. You don't need to show it. So the movie's just, like, already a sequel. It's like, yeah, that's Tarzan.
Yeah.
You don't need to see it.
Well, I like what, like, the Hulk, second Hulk, like, they did the sequel via the intro credits. Like, they just do a little bit of, established characters don't need backstories.
They do little flashbacks, you know, like but there's probably 5 minutes total of flashbacks in the whole 100-minute long movie, and that's all you need. Yeah. And so it's really nice, it's surprisingly refreshing that. The other terrible thing is that there's an inexplicable priest pedophile joke.
Like, just
because? The villain, he needed a gimmick, because villains always have gimmicks, and his gimmick is that he kills people by strangling them with his rosary, and he mentions that it was a gift from his priest when he was 9, and James are like, you and your priest were close, you know, because priests rape children, right? Am I right, folks? And I was like, well, that's just awkward. But the other good thing, if you've seen the trailers, there's the shot of, like, Tarzan and a gorilla leaping at each other in slow-mo because they're going to fight. Sure. He gets the shit kicked out of him. Just absolutely annihilated. That gorilla just... bitch slaps him around for like 2 minutes and leaves him in a heap, and then he hits the girl with a log, and the girl is just like, really? And just bitch slaps him around for like 5 more minutes and bites him and just leaves him to die. And it's great. Because I'm like, in a fist fight between a person and a gorilla, the person will never win.
No.
I don't give a shit if you're Tarzan. So it's really nice.
That's cool.
That's cool. It reminds me of the movie that you and I both saw in the theater with Liam Neeson and the wolves.
The Gray.
The problem with that movie for me, which was not a problem for you, is I saw the trailers. Right. The trailer has like Liam Neeson and the wolf kind of charging each other.
Yeah.
And which is not what you didn't know about. Of course, that's the last scene of the movie.
Yeah.
Because the outcome is irrelevant to that. Yeah. But when you see the trailer, you're thinking, okay, man versus wolf, that's going to be the big climax fight. It's like, you know, but it's not, because it's an artsy movie to some degree.
So it cuts to black at that part.
So if you just saw the movie and didn't see the trailer, you'd probably enjoy it. But when you're going to it thinking, this guy, it's going to be a massive, you know, Liam Neeson versus wolves for 50 minutes. It's going to be amazing, you know. Yeah. And then none of that really happens. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit building up, but the big build-up.
I never saw The Gray, so.
Because I saw The Shallows today, which is,
there's a shark in that.
Blake Lively versus a shark, and you get the whole experience of that. I enjoyed the movie quite a bit. I could see people not liking it, and I wouldn't argue with the quality of that movie.
That's fair.
But when you go to a movie, it's like, I love horror movies. I love, like, the slasher, like, guy versus, you know, Jason versus people.
Sure.
And to me, the shark...
I'm wearing your Jason shirt.
So the movie is nothing more than a slash effect, but the killer is just a shark. Yeah. You know, it's the same concept. It's simple. There's no complex level of plot. It's just girl, shark, have fun for 90 minutes. And then random people die along the way. It's hilarious.
It's kind of like what was that movie that had that was just like that? It was just a couple of people stranded on
open
the water.
Yeah. Open water.
Yeah.
Well, I just like it's the basic element, like when it's one person is trying to survive versus something. And I also like how the shark bites it. Surprise, the shark dies, but that's not a shock. I don't think that I ruined everything. What? But it went on in a cool way, I thought.
What? Well, good.
But
I figured the shark would win.
Did it get impaled by a boat?
It
that would have been great.
The guy comes, it just turns into Jaws. It's like, I got a
shark. All that shark wanted was revenge against the widow of the man who had killed him twice.
Correct. God.
I'm not sure why this shark, you don't really understand why the shark is that pissed off at this movie, but it's great. He's like, oh, that shark is mad about something.
It's a shark. It doesn't need a backstory.
Yeah, exactly. He's not like, whatever's wrong with him, he's not letting it go.
I was curious if it was some kind of hidden agenda, kind of like the ruins, in a sense. I didn't know if it had they used it, that beach, as like a some type of sacrifice or something like that.
Well, The Ruins is actually a surprisingly smart horror movie.
Yeah.
I never got around to seeing it, but I did read the book.
I've never seen the whole thing. I've seen random parts of it.
It's surprisingly creepy.
Do the vines make one of the corpses talk and mock their friends in the movie?
It does. Yes.
That's that one.
Yeah. We watched part of it, right? It's really
Woke up during part of it. I think it was a Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah, something.
I woke up in the middle of it, and I was like, what is going on right now?
They mimic noises.
Yeah, and it was just an asshole. Like, it literally, like first it tries being, like, and again, this is in the book, I don't know about the movie, but at first it tries, like, luring them. Like, it pretends to be the dead guy. I'm like, guys, I'm not dead. You should come down here and rescue me. And then once they catch on to that, it just starts being a shithead and taunting them.
It doesn't do that in here. It doesn't quite taunt them, but it definitely messes with them.
Yeah. It just will, like, it'll, like, make her scream all night.
And then as soon as someone dies, it just kind of consumes them and just pulls them into the thing once they're fully dead.
I never understood why the villagers wouldn't let them leave.
Well, because they were infected.
They could be, like, if the plant, like, maybe it has spores that, like, they inhaled or it's in their hair or something. So the villagers wanted the plant not
to spread. Everything around it was burned to the ground. It
was a quarantine.
Because the one gal, she got attached in the leg, and she didn't die until...
Because it was growing through her.
Many times.
Well, right, but I thought at the end that somebody did get out.
It did. That was a problem, because there was, like, things crawling on her back.
The villagers didn't want them to, because that's bad.
Yeah.
So they broke quarantine, but it was still a quarantine.
Well, they got out
kind of a clever way. Well, and then in the movie, like, after, like, they get out, at least in the movie, like, two rando guys, like, sneak in while they're chasing the kids.
Yeah.
And, like, get infected and then leave right away or something like that.
Well, they just go to the temple because they were looking for that group. But yeah, no, it's. Should we talk about War Machine for a little bit, just for the hell of it?
Yeah, let's do it.
War Machine talk. You guys can stop listening, people.
We're talking about War Machine.
War Machine.
War Machine.
War Machine. All new war hashtag.
Hashtag day zero.
Pound sign.
Hashtag pound sign. Hashtag
exclamation point.
You're so excited about War Machine talk.
I hear circles like totes good.
Hey, they have one of the only 8 wound heavy infantries. They do.
They do. That's true.
Watched Kruger 2 seems as good as he ever was. I took him on.
I played against Kruger 2. I played against Kaya 1, and she lost some in the translation. She felt like a much easier challenge when I played Kaya 1, but I haven't played against Kruger 2 yet.
Kruger 1, yeah. I only have experience against the Kruger action now, and he was pretty interesting. I threw my list with a mammoth into him because I wanted to see how rough.
I saw the tail end of that game.
Yeah, surprise, mammoth lived.
Yeah.
That mammoth, I have now put him on the table 3 times. That mammoth is a goddamn monster.
You're always playing with Naresh, right?
With Naresh, yeah. I played him with one game with Hexorus, one game with Naresh, one game with Resheth.
Oh. I heard Resheth is really good.
I've played more games with Resheth than anybody else. My last 5 games have all been Resheth. Based on my experience in Mark III, I don't think a mammoth is killable. Like, maybe someday he'll die, but based on my game experience, I find him to be an unkillable monster.
It'd be super tough to kill. Like, I think my Ossian list could drop him. But, like, it would really depend.
Arcadius might be able to.
He's much harder to be one-rounded, and I have such good healing things now in that army. Because, I mean, the fact that every Pangiver can just D3 back is pretty freaking... And then that gives you
can have, like, 10 of those assholes if you want to.
It's 14, the same thing.
Yeah, I give 12 of them. 12.
Same thing with the Mountain King. Yeah. Mountain King's got all those whelps, and he's got more health boxes, too. I had pretty decent hard time taking him out.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I need to play into it. I haven't played into a mammoth yet. Brian and I played. I played my first game against Resheth, who is definitely better in Mark III. Not that he was bad in Mark II, but he's definitely stronger in Mark III. And it was a rough.
Did they give him a melee weapon?
No.
So he's still terrible.
The melee weapon. There are many times where I wish.
One.
It is rough. The only thing that went quote-unquote worse, and I don't believe it's really worse, but the only thing you could say would be worse is you can only arc through friendly factions instead of anything.
Yeah.
Which is...
No more feral guys bullshit.
Oh, yeah, that changed. Yeah.
It was... Well, plus it does magical damage, so it still would get around that. Like, Void Spirits could still get damaged. But it does take a little bit... One of the games I did play on Friday night, I played almost all minions. I had a little bit of faction models in there, but once my faction models died, it was basically just all minions, so I couldn't do any more arcing.
That's tough with him, yeah.
But it worked. It still worked out. But it was a rough game. It was another versus. I've been taking on like your 2 assigned games on a Kane 2, and those gun armies are pretty ridiculous. But Arduous Sentinels are pretty good.
Yeah, the game we played. Honestly, the problem I couldn't solve was there. He has 2 Arduous. The list he dropped this morning had 2 Arduous Sentinels. I don't have an answer for that. It would have been fine, except for literally two different turns. I had the ability to kill Azaritus, at least Dan.
Oh, wrong eye, because wrong eye Snapdragon caused enough trouble.
Wrong eye Snapdragon were a pain, but they were less of a problem than the Sentinels. Like, I did kill wrong eye Snapdragon, yeah. But two turns in a row, he rolled above average damage, left my Jack almost dead and on fire, and then both times, fire didn't go out, and fire rolled above average and killed my Jack. One time it didn't kill the Jack, it just crippled its Cortex and its remaining good arm.
Well, you know.
So, equally bad. Like, it was just, like, fire just fucked me out of that game really hard.
It was, yeah.
And if you can't get something to them in melee, you can't kill them. Like, Ossian himself cannot kill an Aerith Sentinel under his feet. Like, I feeded, and I had Stormfall in range of the Sentinel, and then we did the math, and they were dice off 11 with four dice, and I was like, oh, well, I guess that's a waste of a shot.
My biggest scoring challenge. So that's all true. Our Sentinels are amazing, but I keep thinking I still love double cannoneers. Because double cannoneers, so a Sentinel can walk 3, shoot 11.
Yep.
Cannoneer can move 4, shoot 16, and it's an AoE 4.
Yeah, the Sentinels don't kill much. Like, I'm correct. Actually not that scared of the Sentinels killing things. They're just in my way, and I can't do anything about them.
Yeah, because one of my new lists I'm going to try out next has double catapults, so I can be in a cannoneer, so I can do dropping 3 4-inch templates and things. I think if I kill fast enough, that even though my stuff will take damage more, there's less things doing damage. Less things doing damage. So I think I'm trying to determine if, you know, instead of getting shot by 10 things at higher armor, if I'm being shot by 6 things with better POW, where does it come? You know, where right. is it my favor? So. Yeah,
so it was an interesting game. I definitely would play it again. I would even play it with the same list again. And Brian admitted that his list was pretty non-optimal, and the changes he would make to make it better against other things would actually make it worse against my list.
Because I tried Incendiarii, which I love with Resheth, but the way that my list was built, I would have to have a different list design for the Incendiarii to just shine a little better.
Right.
So I'd have to go like a different route to make it work. I had about 12 Resheth lists. I went down to about 4, and I've made 2 more. So I'm at about 6 Resheth lists.
So you have a different approach than me. I had like my base Ossian list, and I was like, and then pull out and put in, and then to version 2, and then pull out and pull it in. That's version 3. Like, I didn't like make 7 different lists.
Well, because if I have like a math joke.
Sex joke. You make one up, but there it went.
In your mind, think about it.
Yeah, because I mean, well, because if I have a mammoth in a list, it's a completely different beast than if I have like a double cannoneer. Like a double cannoneer / a double sentinel list actually is pretty close.
Yes,
but then one of my lists is just like all like it's like a double sentry and Tiberian going down the middle of the field,
which is super hard to kill anything.
Which is a whole other approach.
I've simplified my list building process because I threw out all of my models, and I just kept my tray of 28 razor boards and my 5 casters, and I'm just And I'm just going to roll a random caster every game.
Yeah. And Effereet.
Yeah.
Those things. They didn't do great against Jeremy, but no. Man, most of my games.
Stormfall out-threat them and hurt them really bad.
Yeah. Your list I like because you have 4 levels of threat. You have your 2 levels. Yep. You have your 2 units of Stormfall archers, which have good range. You have your AD.
They threaten 17 or more.
The Strike Force?
Yeah. Stormfall.
Threaten, they walk 5 and shoot 16.
Okay.
They threaten 20.
And they're going to be dead-eyed, so they're going to hit.
And they hit all day.
So that's a good threat. Then you have the Riflemen. So you have 3 distinct levels, and then you have a couple of the Jacks, which do things. So you have a nice it's a diverse layered approach. Correct. Because when I fought Ethan's list, which was still pretty good, it was more of a straightforward everything in one eggs, one basket of approach.
Well, he's double Strike Force, right?
Double Strike Force.
I thought about that, and I think unless you're building for a very specific skew, that's the wrong approach. It's actually really good against Rhett. If you are building for the mirror match, double Strike Force is the way to go. But outside of that, I don't think it's the right approach.
Because your approach, you're putting a lot of your Deadeye in a lot of smaller man units where you can put Deadeye in 2 big man units. So then he's really getting
Having to put Deadeye on the Stormfall hurts. But man, are Deadeye so good? Deadeye so good on Stormfall.
Yeah.
Like I just pretty much assume I'm going to be Deadeying the Stormfall every turn. And it sucks. It's expensive, and it means I can only Deadeye 1 other unit. But man, it's so good.
It's effective. Yeah. So I've been playing that super because I think I'm gonna do and I still have some outside options but I'm pretty my first turn appearance is probably gonna be a Resheth Naresh, and I think Naresh is gonna get the mammoth, although I have 2 variant lists. I have 2 lists with Naresh that I love. One has 5 titans, and one's like 2 titans and a mammoth, and I haven't decided which route to go yet.
I still haven't decided on my second list, although I am in love with the Aldestra list.
Lamentation is so good, and the spoiler with him is so hilarious that it's hard for me to go away from that in my mammoth list. I can't quite fit the spoiler with the mammoth, otherwise that'd be another potential option to go. And I've definitely found all my lists have at least 2 shield guards, and they've been critical in 80% of my games. Yeah. Some of my lists have 3+ shield guards. Some lists have like 4 shield guards.
One of my lists with my new simplified list building process has 28 shield guards.
That's probably unacceptable. I'm going to start playing Makeda 1, who I originally thought
would be Helga.
No, it's Sturm.
Oh, Sturm, right.
Draeng, it's 28 things that have overtake.
That's right.
And Pack Hunter and Free Pathfinder charges.
Nice.
Seems okay.
Makeda 1 has a battle group shield guard spell as well. You can put it on Scarab Swarm, which is hilarious.
And it's full battle group. It's not just beasts in battle group.
It's war beasts in battle group, so that's why.
So she can give it to herself.
Yeah.
Lucan lost himself being a shield guard as well.
I'd have to double check the exact wording. It's a very long worded spell, but it's basically shield guard in the models. I don't know if it includes her or not. Not that I would. Well, I guess maybe, depending on what it was being shot at.
Well, because what you could do, like, I almost never had something stay on Lucan, except if he was camping really heavy on feet turn, but you could use it to chain. Like, somebody hit one thing and you'd shield guard it to Lucan and then shield guard it to the heavy on the other side of Lucan, you know, to protect the corollary. You're like, no, I'll get it. I lied. He's taking it.
Yeah.
But.
True. All right. But yeah, I have been enjoying the fuck out of Scorn, and
I'm enjoying Rettle a whole lot.
Yeah.
I still don't know what my second list is, because I have to figure out exactly what it pairs well into, which is problematic. But
yeah, I have no idea my second list as well. I'm pretty solid on my first list, which is Durgan, but yeah. Have no idea about my second list.
Well, I think go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I mentioned this last week or whatever, but the problem with literally doubling the faction models I have is it's just given me massive brain lock.
If I could take,
I have no idea how to build anything that has a single Gator model in it.
If I could do Resheth / Resheth for my theme fort and just make 2 variant of Resheth lists, I would probably do that and be happy.
Yeah,
I'm pretty confident I could make 2.
Can't you do that?
No,
you only have each caster once.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
It's always been.
I'm just saying I could do Resheth and then just make 2 different lists and probably cover the entire field.
I think a lot of people have settled on their favorite caster. The problem is not what you want your other list to do is be your answer list, and when you don't know what any of the questions are, you're like, I don't know what to put in an answer list.
Saturday is going to be so interesting.
Yes.
And that's why I'm doing right now. That's why I'm doing one list is, well, I'm basically going to do one list more infantry, one list more beasts. And, you know,
are you going down to Cedar Rapids?
No, next Saturday.
Oh, like 2 Saturdays from now. Because the next Saturday is the Saturday.
I didn't say the next Saturday. That's this Saturday.
Next Saturday is the Saturday that is occurring in 6 days.
No, that's this Saturday. Next Saturday is next week's Saturday, and that's the WITC. Which, speaking of which, announcement, list lock is this coming Friday. This Friday.
This Friday.
Not next Friday. This Friday.
You should bump it to,
at
you
midnight
you
at
should,
the end of the
you
day.
You should bump it to Sunday. I got a request
today?
This coming Sunday is when you should change it to, because I got a request from everybody. That's
my teammates literally were like, I'll get you my list on next Saturday. And I was like, no, you won't, because then we won't be playing in the WITC. I need it Thursday so I can submit it Friday.
How are they this slow? Like, why did
I have a team of
deciding
misfit.
What factions they want to play.
Right, but are those extra 2 days going to help? Like, I think it's like when the waiter's like, are you ready to order? Like, no, but you could go away and come back an hour later and I still won't have picked from the menu.
Right.
So you need the pressure to just fucking shit or get off the pot. So pick your faction, pick your lists. Lists are due this coming Friday.
I literally had one of the members on my WITC team switch which faction he's playing within the last 3 hours.
Okay. Well, that's fine. He's got 6 days to lock it down.
You can switch factions, Andy?
It's making me crazy.
5 days. 5 days.
Making me crazy. My whole team is making me crazy.
If you really want. No. I mean, if you want, I could... I've got Rhett. I could start playing Rhett again.
I am curious how much Rhett will be there. There's the whole perceived Rhett as a power faction thing now. I just wonder how much of it will be.
I'm going to guess right now that Kador is the number one faction.
It does seem that way. Kador seems really strong, although Rhett seems really strong into Kador, so I guess that works.
I just think...
He's a strong indicator of what?
I refuse to dignify that with a response.
That next Saturday is this Saturday.
We can have this conversation again. It's my favorite conversation that we have every fourth episode.
It's one of the weird ones, because I do completely agree with Nathan on this one, because it's actually correct.
No.
Disagree.
The next Saturday and next Saturday aren't the same thing.
I always say this upcoming Saturday or the Saturday after this one. Yeah. That way it's very clear and people don't have to know the rules in order to figure out which one it is.
Well, we're not savages. There are rules. This is a society.
Or I give them a date.
When's next August? When is next August? Is it 13 months from now?
No.
You would literally say, oh, I'm going to go get... Steve is getting married next August. You're telling me people would think you meant 4 weeks from now? Nobody would think that. Everyone on the fucking planet would think you mean 2017.
Wait, no, but if you'd asked me 6 months ago and you said next August, everyone would assume it meant the one that's coming up in a month.
No, that's still this August.
No, that's not.
This year's August is this August. Next year's August is next August.
I disagree.
That's fine.
Someone go back through all our episodes. I want to find out the exact moment, the first this Saturday, next Saturday. I want to know where it started. Start with one. It probably is there.
It's probably episode
one. It's probably one.
I learned on my stream that Tort is from some city named Oogly Bungle Bingle because they name their cities stupid in Australia. And it's famous for a smokestack that isn't attached to anything. It's just standing in a field. It doesn't function, so no smoke has ever come out of it.
It's in a field.
And they tore it down. So his city is famous for a non-functioning smokestack that doesn't smoke, exist. That doesn't exist anymore anyway. Australia's dumb.
I wonder
maybe it took a lot of people to make the smokestack.
What
so
I wonder.
They all remember doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're like, Fandinkum, blimey, call mate, made a smokestack, g'day, and then they tore it down.
I want to know what made
all criminals.
Pip's hometown famous then. I in my mind, Pip and Tort are like mortal enemies because they were big fans at different times.
Yeah,
we don't see as much of Pip anymore.
We don't see as much of Pip.
I think Tort murdered him.
I think Pip left us and he's a muse. He left us for Muse. He posted in their threads.
Sad.
Yeah, I'm still friends with him on Facebook.
But that's not the same.
But, yeah. It's hurtful. Yeah, Wollongong. Wollongong. Famous for its non-existent, non-functional, quote-unquote, smokestack.
If you went to visit it, obviously it's not even there.
Yeah.
It was there.
I think it was just a horde of spiders, like, standing on top of each other, disguised as a smokestack, so people wouldn't catch on, and then just exploded and ran out into the outback.
That's certainly possible
in Australia. I mean, in Australia, that seems anything like a viable option.
I think that's true.
You can't disprove it.
He has a point there.
Could have been spider eggs.
Could have been spiders too, just like huddled up, you know?
I'm not
ants do that. They make bridges.
They do.
Yeah, but that's they're true. More of a worker bee type
society. No, they're ants. They're not bees.
Anyway.
Do we have any more war machine related activities? Comments?
I'm going to post the battle report for our game in my thread once I get a chance to write up my essay, my thesis-long entry into my thread for that game.
Nice. I'll have a summary of my weekend games.
Your summary will be two sentences, and mine will be two pages.
Our first Mark III battle report should be, like, you know, something stupid. Like 28 Razor Boards
like
versus
video
all
one?
The Shredders. Yeah, the video. We haven't done a video
one. We haven't done a video in a long time, no.
I don't have enough cards for Shredders.
You don't need cards.
Yep, I need cards.
Just remember it.
I need cards or War Room.
Just
I want to be able to organize it through War Room to play it properly.
Don't you have spirals stuck on beads?
Nope, those are out of date.
They're still accurate, aren't they?
Probably not.
You think their grid actually changed?
The Shredder did.
Grid I don't think changed. His hit points changed.
It might not be, but...
Everything
but,
about the...
But I want to be able to...
don't want to play.
I want to be able to track that through War Room.
Okay.
It's possible.
I also don't want to play with Edifology again.
Yeah, that is true, too. That's going to be weird.
What?
So the Shredders got back a Mark I rule called Adaphology, which says if a Shredder frenzies and it has the possibility of charging a Shredder, it ignores all other targets and charges a Shredder.
They hate each other.
Why?
I don't
they
know.
Hate each
because
other.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
That bitch.
And the thing is, they made Shredder so bad anyway, like they didn't need to tack that on. Like they nerfed all the Lessers in Legion really
hard. They've got
hard.
Gang, which is super great, because what you do is you take a high defense model, you knock it down to make it easier to get to,
and then you
gang all over it, working as intended.
I hope
gang
Travis is listening right
it?
Now.
No, probably
I really
not.
Do.
What?
What?
Gang.
What?
Gang works.
Gang no longer works when you're knocked down.
Or stationary.
Or stationary.
Or mobile.
What I was
that's not what
I
she's
know,
going for.
I know. You're always
do
dirty.
You know?
It is funny that Aurora can never benefit from gang against a Warjack.
She can on her first attack.
Nope. Because
not the damage.
Not the damage.
Not
but
the damage. She'll get plus two to
she
hit on her first attack.
Oh, she makes things stationary?
She has stationary against Warjacks.
She has
gang.
Seizure.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
We should see that errata hopefully this week. I'm hoping it's out.
I actually really thought it would be out by this
weekend.
That's
the other announcement, because I tweeted this, but Travis made a thread on the rules forum with all the stuff that, you know, it's going to be errata.
It's going to be errata, yeah.
And those are all in effect
okay.
For
the
WITC.
Okay.
They're all in effect for the WITC.
And anything we don't know about if it gets eroded before that Saturday, it will be in effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if it's just a standard as a infernal ruling.
Yeah. So my void spirits are still currently broken.
Travis has said that there are things that are in the errata that are not in that thread. That thread is answers to questions people have asked, clarifying what is in the errata. But he also said somewhere on the WITC stuff that the errata is likely to come out before that Saturday. And if it comes out after you submit your list, but before that Saturday, that's nice. It's still the rules. Yeah. We're playing with it.
If next Friday, excuse me, if a week from this coming Friday, but a week before two Fridays from now Friday, the errata comes out and they do something crazy, it's in effect.
Yes.
When the fuck is the WITC then?
I think it's in August.
Okay. next August.
I'm so happy.
Tort, you had just mentioned that they'll fix Gang and you have confidence against that.
I don't think they will.
I do not think they will. Because they made it seem they already
was working as intended.
They went pretty clearly on record saying it is working as intended. This is what we meant to do. For Gang, for Flank, and for... I forget what the third one was. There's a third one, but...
I'm also very proud of
But they did change it so you can charge things.
Correct. But they did change it so you can charge things. That they did not mean to do.
I would love to win a... I am very proud of calling... I forgot the name of our listener who did this, but I wanted a Travis Mark versus the Rules Forum poster that mimics Scott Pilgrim, and one of our good listeners made that on Facebook for us and tweeted it out to the world.
That was a great picture.
And of course, they put Will Hungerford.
As the girl.
Which I did not ask for, but it was a nice little bonus treat. A nice
touch, yeah.
I mean, she's shrunk a lot.
I haven't looked at it closely to see who all the models are.
That's
my fetish. In the picture.
All the problem models.
But are Destors one of them?
I don't think Destors are, but basically all the problem ones.
Destors need a fucking flowchart to use them.
Okay, what's the rules question?
There have actually been several rules questions about the interaction of assault, because right now you can choose when to assault, either when you finish moving or after the whole unit has finished moving.
That's not Destor's fault. That's just assault in general.
But they're the only unit with assault. Or
They're
one of the ones that people have been asking the question about.
Okay, because they're really not the only unit with assault.
No, I guess they're not. But they're the one that's getting the question asked.
They're the only unit with assault that he cares about.
That is a fact. They are the only unit assault I care about.
I don't have any good units with assault in my faction, so I guess, yeah.
Oh, well. Good times.
Good times, great oldies. Anything else?
Well, yeah, I don't have anything else. I'm just enjoying. I'm going to do a Scornisode, but I need to... Well, it'll probably still be like a month and a half out, because I want to play with every caster, and I want to get every unit on the table.
I think that's overrated. I'm going to do a Legion one, literally having never put a Legion model on the table.
You're not.
I'm going to do my Minion one, knowing not much about the Gator stuff.
Maybe you should play some... God, you sons of bitches! It drives me nuts. There's other podcasts out there. Like, they've already ranked all the models, all the factions.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they actually put effort into testing them. You think that Chain Attack does fair, like, scientific controlled research before they just go, it's a D-.
I'm just saying.
I love Jay and that other guy, but I don't think they actually put a lot of research into every single one of their rankings.
I know, but it's like I feel like if I'm going to review Scorn, I want to play with everything.
See,
because there are I originally thought, okay, this is what I did with Scorn before I did a game. I said these six casters I think are good. I'm going to start with these four or five are question marks. They're probably pretty cool, and these three or four. In my mind, based on no gameplay, are probably trash.
Right.
Now that I've played, 15 games, I have moved everyone from the trash pile to, I think, I found potential for them. So now I have, like, a list of, like, seven or eight potentials, and I might move something back down. And I think, now that I've seen some things, every rule these models have, I've reevaluated what they've lost, what they've gained. So I don't
disagree with you. The thing is, I want to do a Rhett one, and I want to do a Legion one, and I'm going to be playing Rhett for the next several months, and I don't want to wait a year to do the Rhett one, the Legion one, because at that point, no one cares.
Lucky for me that the...
Well, that's not true, because everyone likes your Legion, so like... 10 years after it started.
That is true.
Yeah,
that would also have very little research done.
Well, I'm just saying, it's not a time sensitive.
It is, but I would like to get it out while the additions.
Well, the faction I'm actively playing is the one that changed, so I don't have you. The Legion not playing is the same as my Convergence not playing, and Convergence changed almost nothing.
Yeah,
so nothing. I probably won't even bother to do a Convergence episode, because it could just be 2 minutes of me going, here's the three things that changed.
Right. And the Rhett one I'll have played almost all the models, probably not all, but almost all.
The Minions one is going to be 20 fucking hours long.
Tachatron says I should slow down, and also David Scarborough is the one that did the picture.
David Scarborough is amazing because that picture was brilliant.
That's true. I see a list of who's talking, and then all of them are saying the back of Stitch's head. Tort, Stitch's head. Tort, Stitch's head. Tachatron, Stitch's head. It's really convenient. I'm not going to engage with the chat today.
So my second Stitches request for an image hasn't been fulfilled yet, because I wanted, because Travis is doing good. And the thing that he said, please don't be passive aggressive in the rules forum, which is one of the greatest things Travis has ever said in his life. He's almost peaked. But I want an image because he's doing the good fight. He's doing a good job.
He is the face of the new edition.
But like any, but like everyone, at some point he's going to break down.
Yes,
and that's why I want a falling down poster. But instead of I want Travis
in his defense.
Yeah, just falling down and him in the front, you know, holding the suitcase and the gun. I just want Travis to be, because I mean at some point Travis is going to snap on the world.
Yeah,
and he's do that snap.
He is.
But I just want the falling down pulse.
Every 2 or 3 days, I send Travis a message that's just like, you're fighting the good fight. You're a good guy. We're all very proud of you. Don't kill anyone.
What are you, fucking Stuart Smalley?
Well, no, trust me.
He needs it.
As a venting post for him, I can tell you, yes, he needs it.
And I told him, I was like, it's
he
cool
is
if you...
fucking sick of everybody.
I was like, I'm not a judge. I'm not a rules lawyer. It's fine. You don't need to vent to me about rules. You're welcome to, but you don't need to. But just know that we appreciate all the work you put in, and we're sorry you have to be the one to do it.
I flew with Travis to Lock and Load, so I got to hear, and I stayed with Travis as well, and that was a lot of talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves all of you. Playing Gibberish with Acquaintances. That's I forgot true. That
it's
game existed. Oh, okay. Gibberish with your mom.
Gibberish with family members.
Another thing that drives me nuts is I was in I'm also trying to, because I'm having a good experience with scoring, so I'm trying to like post, I have on the Muse thread, I got a little thing going. Yeah. And I'm trying to engage a little bit of the forums, but not very much. A little bit of the Facebook group, just trying to be, because I'm like saying, hey, these are my experiences. These are my positive experiences. I'm still testing things. And then some people are like, oh, someone's drinking the Kool-Aid. And I'm like, well, actually, I actually am playing the game and trying the models out and actually seeing what works and doesn't work. I was like, oh, but I've played 4 games. I know everything. I was like, well, you played 4 games.
Yeah.
You know, because there's this big Mal Karn complaint thread. And it's like, he's different, but he still has roles. And I mean, I'm not gonna. He's not in a ton of my list, but he's been some of my lists. And if I play the way I played Mark 1, he's gonna die all the time. So I'm trying to find a way to play him that justifies the points. Or Mark 2. So I'm just. I don't know whether or not he's gonna make many of my lists based on what he does, but I'm still trying to put him on the table a few more times before I decide if he's just not worth. He might only make it into 2 lists. But if the model makes it into 2 lists, that's fine. Exactly. I mean, before he made it into 10 lists, now he might make it into 2.
Sure.
But if he adds value to 2 lists, he's still good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having trouble finding room for the Phoenix, but I have a couple lists I already want to try Phoenix out in. Like, it's just unfortunate that the Banshee got a strength boost and the Phoenix didn't, so now the Banshee does more damage, and you're just like, well, Banshee feels like the right fit in most lists now.
Phoenix is still your only heavy with an arc node.
It is, and that's still, and so there are lists where that has value, but there are other lists, like Ossian is like, I
don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah. And so. Banshees are always my favorite second jack in Rhett.
Yeah, Banshees are amazing. Range knockdown. Is amazing.
And it's a slam. Like, the slam on smalls and mediums, sometimes getting you that 4 dice damage roll against, like, a key model, it can be huge.
Yeah.
Banshees are bananas. I have several lists with 2 of them now.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hooray.
Yay. Gouda is also good.
Gouda is good.
I thought we mentioned Gouda.
I don't think
we did.
We did.
Gouda is delicious.
I mean, the wax covered things are oft times Gouda.
That's like fair.
Yeah, but we didn't specifically call it. No. You know,
Gouda.
But yeah,
at least people are calling you a PP lover and stuff. Like, I've tried to engage the Rhett forum pretty heavily on them. Like, no, like I can't even get a response.
Yeah,
like I tried posting in threads, like, oh, that's an interesting list idea, and like, here's the tweak I tried for it. I posted links to my really long detailed battle reports because people in the thread specifically said, hey, I'd like to hear a detailed battle report about how this list actually does on the table.
Yeah.
I wrote 3, not a single comment, not a single post, not a single...
Well, just because they didn't comment, you said there are lots of views, but they probably opened it, looked at it, and thought, wow, that's really long. And
right. To be fair.
Needs more pictures.
Needs more pictures.
Needs more pictures. Well, that's the thing, like, the forums I find are almost people saying, I hate this. Please, someone validate that I hate that you hate it too. And now we both hate it. So therefore, now all those guys hate it. I'm going to hate it too. It's like, have you played it? Well, no, but I look at the stats and the stats are different and they're terrible.
Yep.
And I'm just like, everything is different.
Yeah.
It's like, but a Mark II. Like, everyone says, but a Mark II did this. I'm like, shut up.
But it's not Mark II. It's Mark II.
Yeah, exactly. That's game. It's so irrelevant right now. Like,
if you got amnesia and just forgot any Mark II rules existed and just looked at it now.
Is it good or not?
Is it good or not? Yeah, like, you can't just go, well, it was better in Mark II. And, like, Mark II's gone. Yeah. It's dead. You have to look now in a vacuum and judge it fairly.
There are still a few models that in Mark III
are terrible.
Like, that's fair. Raven has a feat that exists in the same faction as a caster who has Deadeye. Like, that hurts Raven in the comparison immensely. It doesn't mean that Raven got worse from Mark II. It's just Ossian now has her beat in most categories. She still has Snipe. Snipe's amazing.
Yeah. And when Elson's done, I am sure there's going to be a list of some score miles that I probably will play less or very little, but until I play them, at least can validate whether... Because there's certain things I just thought would be worse. I mean, you know, I was very down on the bronze back. I got him on the table. The guy's fucking amazing. Surprise, it's a bronze back. It's still amazing. News at 11.
No, the bronze back's terrible now, yeah, I thought.
Exactly. Bolvin. So, I mean, all these things... I'm sure there will be some miles that I'll put on the shelf after 2 months from now and never come off. Well, but I got to get to that point.
Right. Here's the thing: is everyone was complaining about power creep, and it sounds like PP did a lot of things to remove the power creep.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so people are still comparing it into the end on where everything was overpowered, and then also people hate change, so they're going to complain.
Change is scary. That's scary. Luckily, I have a job to where my world is changing on a weekly basis radically sometimes. So if, to me, change is just a day, every day my world shatters in a whole new
way.
If the
War Machine community had almost anything in common with my job, I think I'd kill myself.
The thing I'm most curious to see about as far as things that right now people think are terrible, and I mentioned the Rhinodon half-jokingly there, but I'm curious to see if people figure out the logic behind, or I mean, if there is some, but if they can make it work, the new like medium war beasts that exist, you know, like the Earthborn and all the satyrs, you know, where they have all these heavies that cost almost as little as a light, but are garbage, but they're on a large base. Like those are kind of they're weird to me, and I'm interested to see if there's a lot of those.
Yeah, the Rhinodon, like the Rhinodon and the Arcanine, I have not put either on the table. I already have lists that I think the Arcanine will do great in. I look at the Rhinodon and I'm like, I don't know why or where I would put this. I'm still going to find and make up something to put him in.
But they gave him spiny growth.
Yes,
took away all his armor.
His armor.
That is the that's the hilarious thing. If spiny growth cost one, it's one of those weird things on it, because like you want Xerxes 2 to have spiny growth,
sure,
but you can't cast spiny growth and mobility to have a fury on him.
Right,
and everyone's like, a large base with no fury seems bad, even with two extra armor.
It does.
So, but I'm already getting lists for Xerxes 2 in my list that don't care. It's like, you know, whatever. I'm just gonna zero fury it. Fuck the world. I think this can work.
It might.
I got some Rhinodon ideas in my head. Those are harder models to figure out. Where the Arcanine, I already know it's still a charge 10-12 crit pitch is still a good thing. Yeah. Even though crit pitch is slightly nerfed because it's strictly away, I don't choose the away anymore.
What is a 6-man unit of your heavy infantry cost? Just one, the melee one. 20-ish points?
18. Well, they're closer to 18.
Okay. No, that's fine. I just was curious. Because I was discussing things like that. I was
wondering. So 20 or 20?
20? Yeah. Okay.
And what you want to, you're always taking the UA because UA is amazing. So you're talking like 26, 27 points for some of these units.
Incendiary, though, is only 18 and no UA.
I think more melee because I'm just, you know, these things that cost like 10, like 8 points if you're bringing 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah.
And if you treat them almost like a unit and just say, well, they go off and they do their thing, like...
I'm going to say thank you because I just got called thinner, so that's more important than whatever you guys are talking about.
You got called Stitch's head.
He called her. She said she's looking trim since last time you saw her on video.
So
normally we don't have somebody sitting right where you're sitting.
Well, yeah, because
Right.
So my belief is that...
I was going to say, never mind. If you were sitting there, I'd say, actually, that's not Brian Kerr. Sorry. Anyway, I could derail it as a comment. I'm done.
Go ahead, Andy.
No, it's fine.
I'm having fun. I do this every once in a while.
I will say that one of the things that's very interesting...
Cactus on his head?
No, it's a little dinosaur.
Oh, okay.
It's got little arms.
From here, it looks like a cactus.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that.
A little pink spines.
One of the things that's a very interesting decision for me in Mark III that was almost never something I thought about in Mark II was UAs. In Mark II, I felt like the cost of a unit was the cost of that unit plus a UA, in every case, at least for the factions I played. And I even include the Hex Hunters, which a lot of people played without their UA in Legion. I thought he brought a lot to the unit. now in Mark 3, I sit down a lot of times and I'm like, man, if I just had 4 more points, oh, well, I could live without that UA. Sure, let's cut the UA. Like, I feel like I'm doing that much more in Mark 3 than I did in Mark 2, which is interesting. There are UAs that I think are pretty mandatory, but it's not every single UA anymore.
Do Gators have any UAs? So the only UA in Minions is mandatory, so I have not had the experience. Brigands. Yeah.
Well, they have a UA if you play him in Scorn.
Scorn has a soul that does things to him.
And he's mandatory as well.
If you take a bunch of minions.
So, yes. Yeah. Every minion unit, the UA is mandatory.
Yeah.
Yes, that Khan is an owlbear plushie. It was from Gamehole Khan.
Nice.
They had huge ones, too, like Andy-sized ones. Not that Andy's huge, but for a plushie, that's huge.
For a plushie, that's pretty big. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm having fun. I'm having fun writing up my battle report that lots of people look at and no one responds to. I think Mark III is in a good place. I'm very, very interested in the errata.
Oh, my God. You're so negative.
I am very interested in the errata. I feel like there are things like Brian and I obviously did not play that you can't charge a knockdown model. It didn't come up in our game. But if it had come up in our game, we were not going to play that you can't charge a knockdown model. And
well, we already know that one's being changed.
But if the errata's not technically out, like there might be other things we don't know about.
My Void Spirit with Mordekaiser still can jump around the table.
That was in Travis's list.
That was in Travis's list.
That one is.
Yeah, so, yes. Yeah.
But the Void Spirit with Mordekaiser is not in this list yet, so I can still...
I thought it was.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
I would ever play it that way. I mean, because it's ridiculous. We know it's changing.
Right, but it's just, you can't be assumptive of stuff like, you know, they're probably going to change gang, so we'll just play with gang and knock them. Like, you can't do that.
And I was like, no, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see. There's a tournament in Cedar Rapids this coming Saturday that I can't make because I actually had forgotten I have to work. But I know some people have been talking about maybe going to that. Like, it would be very interesting to play in a tournament if the errata hasn't dropped yet. Because there might be things you play that by playing legally, you'll be playing very wrong 3 days later. So it'll just, I would really like to, before another weekend comes and goes, see the errata drop. And I don't know if it will, because I know they're evaluating a lot of things, but I feel like every weekend they don't, there's more tournaments where people are going to get wrong rules fixated in their minds.
Fair.
So.
Especially for a major, like a War Machine weekend one.
Yes. If WITC happens and it's not there yet, that's a lot of people playing a lot of games with a rule that might change drastically for all we know. Yep. So.
For all the haters out there. Play the shit first before you complain. That's all. That's pretty much our mantra in Mark II is play it. Play it before you talk about it, and then you can talk about it.
Yeah, like I put Desters on the table and really liked them.
And a lot of things that people, it sounds like, are complaining about, they are looking at errata-ing
in some cases, stuff. Yes. In some cases, yes.
So, I mean, it's not like the way that the rules are now or any character is now is the way that it's always going to be forever. If
that's true.
Because even in Mark II, they came out with other models that they're like, you know what, those aren't getting enough playtime, so let's change something about them.
Yeah, and they've also left the door open to maybe have like theme-specific changes to models too, which could be really cool when they get the theme forces dropped.
Yes.
But we'll see. We will see. Anybody else have anything else they want to talk about before we drop to recommendations?
Mine was Weird Al. I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, talk about Weird Al.
Because I went to go see Weird Al at Summerfest, the opening day of Summerfest.
Mm-hmm. With who?
With Gary Larson.
With who?
With who? The 501st Legion. Is that a proper way to
Legion is unplayable that? Trash.
No, the 501st Legion would be with who? Whom is would be?
Wait,
is a singular.
Wait, did you mean like Weird Al is touring with the Who? No. Is that what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. Okay. You saw Weird Al with the Who?
Yep. Yes. No.
Who opened for whom with the Who?
I don't remember who opened for Weird Al. Stop it. I'm just trying to...
You're breaking
Andy. Who
invited
you along? Are
you talking to me now or him at the concert?
Oh, my God.
Both.
Fuck you. You got to be backstage at Weird Al. I'm full of hatred, and I'm going to ruin it for you.
It was already ruined for me.
What? Ooh, what? Do tell.
By the event itself.
What? Whoa.
So I went to go see it. Security at Summerfest is much tighter than it has been in previous years. Well, for obvious reasons. Big gathering of people and, you know, guns and shit.
Ah, I see what you mean.
So the security was much tighter.
I love
so
that
we
movie.
Guns and
guns
shit?
And shit.
Yes. So we couldn't actually get in until like about 8 o'clock at night. When we got there at 5, ooh, Gary and I did.
Ouch.
So we were in the parking lot just hanging out for 3 hours. So we got in, got up there, watched Weird Al. He started at 10. I got to watch him for about an hour, and then I went back and helped some of the 501st. And what the 501st is, they're a bunch of basically Star Wars enthusiasts with costumes that are basically movie accurate. And so
specifically stormtrooper outfits, right?
It could be
any
it could be anything. I started as a stormtrooper.
Their namesake is the 501st Legion of right. Stormtroopers, but they also do other stuff.
I mean, they do try to limit how many Darth Vader, like they only went when Darth Vader come to an event. Like they kind of self control.
Okay, but yeah, they do have like Darth Vaders. I thought it was
just and I'm sure some of them have Jedi there's costumes, Bubba Fett, you know, there's and other Mandalorians.
Carry on. Sure. I did not know that.
Yeah, all the other shenanigans. So we watched it. I ended up going backstage for their performance itself. And as we were leaving, the whole thing was that Al was going to come out, and we were going to get pictures taken with Al, and then we were going to get autographs, and that was it. That was our chance to meet Al. So as I was in line, there was only about 13 of us, so it was not a huge crowd in general. About the 10th person in, we all had to take the pictures via one single camera. So that was kind of annoying. We couldn't take a quick selfie because that would take, you know, way too much time to go, ha, done, right. You know.
I can't do selfies.
You need a selfie stick.
I can't make a face to a camera.
The problem with selfies is that you want to look at the screen to see how things look, but then you're not looking at the camera.
Yeah.
And so then you have to look up at the camera, and now you're guessing if it's still pointed correctly. So but it's
like,
disastrous.
Like Andy is a very good selfie taker. He makes that like weird face. And it looks decent. I make a weird face, and children cry, and I get accused of raping a dolphin. Like, I can't make a selfie face. I don't think
I've ever seen that accusation.
Well, it's because I usually have to move it.
Personal messages?
It's a problem, yeah. It's just saying I can't make that face.
To be fair, the way the dolphin was dressed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
I'm just saying, like, I'm always annoyed when people can make a good selfie image, and they do the Scooby face, and it works for them, because I do that face, and it's just bad.
You can do it.
I don't know.
Make a duck face.
I have never made that face without a rape whistle being blown. Is all I'm saying.
You can't do it either.
No.
Sorry, anyway.
Don't look at the camera.
Anyway, you're telling a story.
So.
Yeah, like that.
About 10th person in, they decided to stop photographs.
Lame.
And I was 13.
For any reason?
He's like, no, we're done. We're done with taking photographs. I'm like,
there's three more people.
So you're like, give us all the autograph things. And so we couldn't go up to Al individually. They just hand us everything, and so we had to hand them everything to get them signed. Got them all signed. One of the guys. I mean, the other thing to mention about the 501st, they're a giant charity organization.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. Is they go to children's hospitals and, you know, play stormtroopers with mm-hmm. them. You know, they bring enlightenment to sick kids.
Yeah.
And so one of them was part of the last three that didn't get a picture. He's like, complained to the stage manager, who was not the Al's handler. He's like, you know, this really sucks. I didn't get my picture. That's kind of why we did this. And so they finally got him convinced. They took our pictures. I got one. I have yet to know if I actually got it yet, or because it's all in one camera. Some other person has it right now. But the picture they took with the guy who was really upset was blurry.
Oh.
And they refused to take another one.
Oh, my God.
When I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, I traveled to San Diego to meet Terry Brooks with some friends. And we took all the pictures. My picture was a blurry picture. Oh. Everyone else had good pictures of Terry Brooks except for me.
Who's Terry Brooks?
You married? You have bookshelves upon bookshelves in your house.
Almost an entire bookshelf of Terry Brooks books in our house.
Can I burn it yet?
No!
Okay, you let me know when that happens.
Oh my God.
Who's Terry Brooks? Has to be one of the top three things Katie's ever said that I've heard. Only one of Jeremy's favorite authors. No one important. Only a key figure in his life.
Does it tell you he writes like teenage girl novels?
I mean, he doesn't even write teenage girl novels.
I mean, how do you read his stuff? All you read is Twilight and Divergent.
Don't even know. I do not read Twilight.
Yeah, you did.
I read the first book and a half.
Legitimately read Twilight.
It's a cultural phenomenon. I read the first book and
then I
didn't
read Twilight. The second one. Except I read Twilight.
You read Twilight.
Damn it.
Team Edward or Team Jacob?
No.
You're one of them.
Nope.
You had an opinion.
I did not.
Based on the first book and a half.
Nope.
Come on.
I can literally say I have never not finished a book that I've started except the second book in the Twilight series, because I have a start-finish rule when it comes to books, and that book was so bad I couldn't finish it.
I read 9.5 books in the series once, the Amber series. It's like very classic sci-fi.
That?
Made it 9.5. I'm like, you know what? I lost interest somewhere between 6 and 7. I'm like, you know what? I'm 6 or 7 in. I'll finish the last 3. They're not that huge of books. Now it's 9.5. I'm like, you know what? I just don't care. However this ends, every moment I spend reading this book is just useless.
Oh my God.
9.5 out of 10. And
I just would
stopped.
Die.
Sorry. Who's Terry Brooks? That's amazing. That's the best Weird Al story I've ever heard.
Anyway, you go on, Andy.
Well, that was pretty much it.
So the guy got a
blurb. That's too bad.
That is too bad.
I have no idea if my picture's out there, but I did take a weird selfie picture with Weird Al.
Of course you did.
So.
Nice.
Did you have a fun time other than that, though?
Yeah, everything up to the event was
It's cool
awesome.
Being backstage, because Fool took me once, he took you, he's taking it, because he's going to be doing the same thing to Madison, taking another friend. I'm looking if I actually got tickets, and I actually bought my bag, I actually have backstage pass, so I'm curious how he's going to treat the people who paid more to get backstage, or
if it's different,
because I met him with 501st, and Weird Al's kind of, he's quiet when you meet him in those situations.
Literally just stood there.
Yeah.
Which is,
because the show's over, yeah, he's very passive in person when you meet him in that scenario. So I'm curious how it'll be to people who've paid for the money for the things, if it'd be that same way.
Seriously, though, who's Terry Brooks?
I bought like 8 or 9 Shannara books recently, but I haven't read a book in like 6 months.
Have you read
crazy.
Any of the Shannara books?
Or? I read like 10 to 15, but now there's like 40.
Because he had a bunch, because he had the two series, and then he converged the two series, and then they went back to being Shannara.
Was it called Convergence?
No.
I only read sort of Shannara.
Okay.
That's the only one I ever read.
Yep.
And I really, really liked it. Like, I read, I was reading it in a, I finished it in the car with like my parents driving, because I was in like junior high or something. And I literally was, I had the book shoved in the glove box because it was the only light source in the car. So I finagled shotgun from my dad specifically so that I could shove the book in the glove box to give it enough light to finish it, because I didn't want to wait for the next day.
Yeah.
And it's then, good. Like, somebody pointed out that it's just a complete ripoff of Lord of the Rings, and
the
so I didn't
first,
read anymore.
The first book is, there's many books that are very generic.
There are a lot of books that are like Lord of the Rings has how you start a series.
I just never got around to reading the rest. Next is the second one, Elfstone.
Elfstone is
one of the best books I've ever read.
Yes, yeah. Elfstone is just a milestone.
I think I bought Elfstone because of how much I loved Sword, and then, like, I went to high school
and because Elfstone takes place like so far after the first book, people should just read Elfstones and then move on with their life.
Yeah,
because it's so good. Like, if you don't want to read
anything, like, it's clearly the best of the original trilogy. Like, Sword is a story that's been told before, but it's written well. Elfstones is a completely untold story that's written amazingly, and then Wishsong is a story that's never been told, but I would argue is not as well written as Elfstones. So, like, the third one's not as good as the second one, but then the series takes off from there, and I think Elfstones may be the best, but the series is really strong all the way through. And Al-Anon is one of my favorite characters in any piece of literary fiction ever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Al-Anon is just amazing. Yes,
I was looking into rereading, because I haven't read them since I was, like, 12, the Black Cauldron books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I reread the first one, and then I forgot to read more. Yeah, that's backwards. You have the wrong person.
Well, it says Tom Gwan on this side.
Oh, you're playing Tom Gwan's side.
Tom Gwan will be in Milwaukee next Friday.
Are we? What are we doing after WTC on Sunday? Are we going to record?
I guess it probably depends how late Sunday goes.
Yeah, it's going to depend how many rounds it goes, probably.
Okay. But yeah, I'm very questionable on what happens.
Because it's going to be 12 teams, so we're going to go down to 6 and then 3, and then it could be done after 3 rounds. You know, if it goes 4 rounds versus 3 rounds, it'll be different.
What's going to happen? So what happens if we finish on Saturday?
Were we doing 3 and then 1? It wasn't 2 and then 1 or 2? I thought it was 2 the first day.
I heard 2 the first day was what I heard. But
I'll double check. I thought it was 2 the first day, so we're doing at least 1 round, maybe 2 rounds Sunday. I think is how we split it.
Well, I mean, we could all just like hug Chris Green for 8 hours.
If it's 3 the first day and then it's done after 3 and there's nothing on Sunday, we'll just board game all day.
Yeah. Well,
Katie was thinking about coming up on Saturday, which won't work out for her if we board game Sunday, but...
Well, we'll be playing War Machine on Sunday. Yeah, there's no danger of that.
Yes, there's no danger of not playing War Machine.
Staying in Milwaukee. I don't have a place to stay.
Yeah.
You have to go to a hotel?
It's an hour away.
I'm getting a hotel room.
I'm getting a hotel.
Yeah. You can just drive.
Well, most of my team's from way out of so we're getting room.
Because when I go to Milwaukee, I just drive down in the morning and then drive back. Katie's it's not a bad
How close to facilities is this place?
I have no idea.
I think the facilities is gone.
Well, then
I think that Fazoli's that was on that, because I drove past that to Travis or to Gary's house.
It's not at the normal Milwaukee game store.
No, no, I'm saying
at the Elks Club.
I'm saying that Fazoli's that I'm sure that's what Brian was talking about. I think that's gone.
Well, but there could be a different Fazoli's near the Elks Club.
I have to react to a reader. I can't read his name.
Tacatron.
C.S. Friedman's Cold File Trilogy is an amazing trilogy. It's our friend Nick, who is an idiot, but he had it on the bookshelves. Me and Jim would randomly grab books from his bookshelf, and like sometimes it would be like just terrible, terrible thing, and then we grabbed those books, and it was magical.
I've never actually
read those. Trilogy.
I've read a lot. Never read
that. Those. I think that author writes characters as good as anyone has ever written a character. And there's only like three main characters, arguably two main characters, and they are just so in-depth and layered and so amazing. It's just a beautiful story of two people in this crazy world. It's the Cold Fire Trilogy is epic.
Good to
know. That was my response to Tacatron. That's what
Tacatron.
From here, it's Tacatron.
Okay.
I believe that. I'm sure
I can read Tacatron as well.
I could see Tackletron if the I was an L, but it's still after the K.
I add letters. It's after the hashtag.
Oh, wait, no, it is Tacatron. Now I can see it.
Yeah, Tacatron.
All right. All right, we should get to recommendations then.
Recommendations.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Nathan.
I don't have one. I assumed I was going to recommend Swiss Army Man, and then I didn't see it, so I don't have a recommendation. Hey, don't go cannibal in survival mode. It's really fucking terrible. It might be okay later.
You just have to wait.
Yeah, maybe if you wait until you can eat other things, but right now, good God.
If you go cannibal in survival mode, have a life coach like Andy with you.
Yeah.
When you said how you went up in survival mode, I knew it was gonna crash and burn, but I wanted you to experience it. Oh, I didn't want to tell you your business, but I was like, man, that is just running into a wall head first.
It was going so well the first time.
Yeah, the first your first 15 minutes went well, and then it just started spiraling.
Yeah.
It was fine.
I like life.
I liked it when you found the scorpion as well.
Oh my God, I was just walking and there was like four Brahmin. I'm like, oh, Brahmin are friendly. And then a giant rad scorpion was attacking him. I'm like, he's not friendly. So I gave him a wide berth and I turned around to look and he was right behind me. Like, he apparently decided he was done with Brahmin and he was going to chase me for a while.
I turned a corner.
And then he tore my leg off.
I turned a corner and there's a scorpion and the dog attacked him and I just kept running. Like, your dog is down. I'm like, that's good.
I killed the Deathclaw in Concord the first time. And the way it was is like, so I hid in the diner because, you know, the Deathclaw can't fit through the door, so I let him and the Raiders fight each other, and then Dogmeat was fighting with the Deathclaw and it like killed Dogmeat and it wandered off. So I went out in the road and I gave Dogmeat a stim pack and I turned around and the Deathclaw's coming back and I'm just like, just kill Dogmeat, and I ran back and I just left him there as bait.
So can your side characters also die? Like, the companions also die in Survivor?
They won't die. They'll just stay. They don't heal automatically after a little while. They'll just stay on the ground weeping in pain until you stimpack them.
And if you never stimpack them, they'll default back to where they came from eventually. So you have to go grab them. And since
You can't fast travel, and you only save when you sleep. The greatest moment this morning, because I was at Diamond City, and then I did a bunch of shit, and I needed to get back to Sanctuary.
Now, I'm in that boat right now.
I got halfway there, and like I killed some raiders and survived, and I did it. Like, I got to Walden Pond or whatever, and like I'm like, I know I'm going to die in 30 seconds, and then I found a semi-truck, and I picked the back hatch, and there was a bed in it, and I almost wept with joy and relief.
It's amazing how amazing you feel when you walk into a building.
I learned something I didn't know. If you sleep in a random sleeping bag that's not in a town, you get sick.
In the survival mode. In
survival mode.
You don't know what's in there.
Yeah, it gave me parasites, this semi, but it was worth it.
And I always have to Google what cures what diseases and whatnot, because I get some terrible ailments. If I'm not near a doctor, I have to like find which item would take care of it.
Fucking doctor I waited like five times of like 3 hours each, and that fucking doctor in Diamond City was never in his office. And I'm like, please, I'm half dead from radiation and I've got parasites and insomnia, and he was just never there. It was so depressing.
He's like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
He should be. He sure as fuck should be.
Glitch.
Probably stuck in a basement somewhere.
Yeah, I've been tempted to try survival mode, but
you hardcore XCOM.
I do.
Which is very impressive.
I hardcore the highest difficulty XCOM. Yeah. Like, that's my thing. I just don't know that I have... Like, the problem with XCOM versus this is XCOM, for the most part, I can do a mission and then save and be like, whew. But I feel like in the Fallout world, in survival mode, there's never the...
You fuck, I don't think that you can dick around
when you
as
see
much.
A bed.
Yeah, you see a bed. You approach and you see, and with regular Fallout, you see a raider camp. You hit F5, you run into it, maybe you die and you go back. But and in this version, you see a raider camp. Okay, then you're scouting around. Where can I sneak in? You know, where's the nearest bed? I mean, you're analyzing your ammo. What do you have?
I'm scared of bloat flies. I'm scared of everything.
I see an alpha dog. I'm like, run for my life.
Alpha dogs were scary in the base.
Yeah,
game
I know. And
then low levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like everything you guys have told me about survival mode. All I keep thinking back to is the original Deathclaw in Concord, and I'm just like,
what I did is I have
a minigun, and he can't get to you.
What I even was different
than limited ammo.
Yeah, well, I did it differently than Nathan. What I did is I triggered what he should do. I went downstairs, went up the front door, and I engaged a bunch of things. I had him spawn up, and then he killed all the minions, and I would go out and come out the door, shoot him a little bit, go back in the house. He'd eventually walk away. Then I'd come back out the door, drug up, shoot him a couple times, walk back in the house. So I would just, like, get him in that route.
Stay in the diner and shoot him through the door. Yeah. It takes about 80% of the ammo they give you. If you miss too much, well, then have
done. You shoot the cars around him, they'll explode. There's all sorts of gimmicky ways to...
run out, stim dog meat, run back in. He'll do a little bit of damage.
Did you see when I killed him in there? Were you part of that?
No.
I think that was with Jim. That was where I was in my power armor with my minigun. I fell off the roof into him. And then as he's attacking me in my power armor, I accidentally eject from the power armor. Ooh. And I'm running away with the minigun. I ended up killing him. But it was the most haphazard way to do it.
This here's a nice embarrassing Nathan forgets how to play Fallout 4 thing, because you know, much like you know, Vats existing.
We watched. We saw the stream.
No, this was a month ago, because this is in preparation before survival mode came out. I wanted to try the melee build, you know, and so I made the same character, just not in survival mode. And that fight, I ran out of minigun ammo, and I forgot that power armor isn't the armor and the minigun are a thing. Like, I forgot that you could use other weapons while still in power armor, so I'm like, welp, I'm out of minigun armor. I have to get out of my power armor. So I just got out, and I'm running around, like, shooting him with a pistol, and he's just charging at me. I'm like, this was a lot easier when I was in power armor.
Yep.
That's not how it works at all.
No.
You can just use a different weapon.
You can.
Yeah. Oops.
You don't have to, though. It's optional.
Yeah.
Jordan, he got to the first DLC stuff, so now he's customizing his robots, which looks really cool.
That does sound cool.
I just haven't encountered that yet. I think it'd be over level 15. I'm really excited to kind of get into that content.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I'm recommending you should play Survival Mode, because it's so good. If you like Fallout, Survival Mode, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it my first go in, but now that I'm a Fallout fan, I've beaten the game a bunch of times. I'm just really enjoying the experience. Game. So that's all I got. Simple.
I don't need to go again.
I know.
Oh, I recommend watching Big Brother so that I have somebody to talk to about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because Brian hasn't given me Tim's number.
Oh, that's right. He's supposed to give you Tim's number.
Well, and give also his amazing. Number now.
I'm not talking.
He's doing it right now. I'm going to recommend, I'm almost positive I've ever recommended this in the past, but I've been playing a lot of Crusader Kings 2 lately with the new Conclave expansion, and it's...
You have not recommended Crusader Kings 2 before.
All right, well, it's a video game, it's on Steam, it's amazing. There are about 150 DLCs for it, but like 10 of them actually add content, and if you just go to the wiki, you can figure out which ones they are, or just play the base game, or you can mod it with the Game of Thrones mod, which is amazing, but... the game's amazing. I will say that unlike normal modern games, it doesn't tell you how to play at all. It's just like, here's the game, here's one or two splash screens with some information, go rule a kingdom.
And then I have watched at least 6 hours of how to play that game, and I've tried playing it for at least 10 hours, and I understand about 15% of what I'm supposed to do.
That's how I am with Dominion 4, and I still was recommending that one, but it's that same boat.
Once you've done it, though, like, it's not complicated.
It is fairly complicated.
I don't think it's complicated.
You need to watch probably a minimum of 3 to 5 hours of tutorial stuff online, and then the problem is there's no starter mission, there's no demo, and so people online have found a specific ruler in Ireland. It's the southwestern tip of Ireland. There's a guy in Ireland who starts with two counties. Play as him for your first
game. And that's what I've done. I've actually done that, and
he's in a position where he's in a very powerful position. Like, it's trivially easy for him to not die, which means you'll probably only mostly die. Like, he's just...
And two counties seems like a small number as well, which means you're probably not as overwhelmed.
Because you can start out as
all
you,
this stuff.
Because here's the
but
problem.
But all your opponents only have one, so you're twice as strong as all of them.
I think Kate, and it's weird because I can't think of a synonym that's an antonym, but like it's probably not complicated in as much as things are consistent and things are the same, but there's a lot of shit going on.
There's a lot going
on. So it feels overwhelming to people who don't know how to do the surprisingly simple behind the scenes stuff, which is her point.
And you don't know, like, there's a lot of menus and screens.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Okay.
And stuff. And, like, for Katie, Katie is the manager. We play together. Like, I do the keyboard, and she makes the tactical decisions. And so, like, she didn't have to learn all of the, like, she just says, Jeremy, I want to do X. And I go to the screen where X happens.
So you're Scotty, and she's Kirk. And yes. She's like, make this happen. And then you're down there panicking while steam flies out of the walls.
Well, I mean, it's not a time-sensitive game.
And that's the other thing I will say about Crusader Kings 2. If you are trying to play Crusader Kings 2, and you're trying to play it in such a way that you leave time running at all times, you are either going to have time so slow that you spend 95% of the game bored out of your mind, or you're going to be having it so fast that when a war or something does crop up, you're going to just instantly lose. I highly recommend you play at the speed 3. Like, when it starts the game, it starts at the speed 1. There are, I think, 6 speeds, but there's at least 5. Don't turn it up to 5 unless you're in a situation where nothing's happening. Turn it up to 3 and realize that pressing the space bar pauses the game, and there's no shame in pausing the game all of the time.
Right. Well, the game will pause itself, too.
For certain things.
John and his friends play the game so much that when they play together, they have no pause rules unless there's a war. But, yeah. I mean, which is kind of cool. You can play multiplayer. Like, I kind of want to get better at it so I can play with you guys.
Too. Yeah. Playing multiplayer is super, super fun. John's not the only friend I have that does it. But you have to have very specific rules about pausing, or else
between you... But you have to play, like, live?
Yeah, or... you play live. You're all in real time.
And then
time.
If somebody pauses, it pauses for everybody?
For everybody. And what they do is they agree on a speed, which 2 or 3 usually feels pretty good. That's the speed the game runs at. And then you either have a rule that each person's allowed to pause time, like, once every year or two. Or you have a rule, like, their rule for John's group is, if war is declared, you may pause. And then everybody says, okay, I'm ready, and then you resume.
Because you don't just have armies running around. You actually raise levies, and then when you raise levies, you have to combine them, and then they do things, and when it's done...
you point your commanders, and like there's so many levels.
And that's where I get confused. And you have to see how long it's going to take your army to get from...
That game, I know this game's complicated, because there's that Twitter feed I talked about the one time that was all just like patch notes with no context, and they were all hilarious and weird, and like half of them were from Crusader Kings, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, we have reduced the difficulty to assassinate your own retarded daughter.
Yes.
You know, it's like, what?
Yeah, and like when you play the
daughters are the worst.
And Katie and I played the base game, and then we played the base game with like the first 2 or 3 DLC, and now we're up to the point where we play the base game with the like core, I think it's like 10 or 12 DLC, and I can't even imagine if I had tried to start playing with all 12 DLC. Like, I think you should try starting with the base game and then either buy a couple of DLC or buy all the DLC, but like understand the core game first, even though things will change. It is worth playing it at core at first, or you can be super overwhelmed.
Right. The other thing is you should have your tablet or another computer handy so that you can look stuff up.
Yep. The wiki is really good.
And then I would recommend playing on Iron Man or the Little Glove.
I think not playing on Iron Man, you're doing yourself a disservice as well. If you want to play your first game where you're learning how to play without Iron Man, great. But A, you don't trigger any Steam achievements, and everybody knows how good it feels to trigger a Steam achievement.
Right.
You can only trigger those in Iron Man. And B, what we found was you can make the game trivially easy if you're like, oh, look what happened. If I go back in time 6 months, I can head him off at the pass and like totally stop this insurrection or this coup or this guy attacking me and just like make it never happen. And then like the game becomes trivially easy.
Well, then it's not fun.
Exactly.
I could see the first, like I said, while you're learning
the first couple times we played, we did not play Iron Man.
Because the thing with that game, I don't want to talk about it for terribly long, we're going long, but... Because you care about your lineage, how the rules of ascension or the rules who takes over, especially when you start having alliance with other races or other countries, you have to make sure that you don't accidentally lose control. And half the battle is making alliances and marrying off people, so you can, when people die, you get their lands.
We had a son. I still don't know how this happened. We owned all of England. Our son, who was our heir, our prime heir to everything, somehow, through his crazy aunt or something, inherited a county in France. He immediately became a count in France.
He was a kid still.
He was a kid. He was still a child. He immediately became a count in France with his crazy aunt or whatever as his regent, making all the decisions for him. He came of age. He owned that county. He would not leave that county, even when I gave him land in England. He got us involved. He got involved in a holy war that we were not part of because France involved a holy war with the Muslims. And then when I finally died, he inherited England. And you can build these cultural specific buildings in your counties that give you these bonuses. They immediately all disappeared because he was French instead of English. He was my fucking son. Not like a bastard. He was a full-blooded son of the king, the emperor and the empress of all of Prydain. I owned England. I owned Ireland. I owned Scotland. But he inherited this tiny, shitty little county in France, and it ruined my lineage for like four generations.
Well,
you shouldn't have done that.
I didn't.
Well, you shouldn't have.
Well, and the weird thing, well, the truly horrible, because the building, that was a lot of money, but it was. Like we couldn't educate him, so he had like a shitty book.
Yep.
And then we couldn't marry him, so his wife was just
married
the worst.
This terrible.
We
woman.
Murdered his first wife, and then he remarried an equally terrible person.
Yeah, we were like, okay, fine, you married a terrible person. I'm gonna kill her, and then try to marry you someone in my kingdom. And he was a count, and so he told me no. He's my son.
Because the big thing is, when you have a kid, you want to pick the tutor based on their skills, yes, enhance their very skills, much. And then when you lose that kind of control,
oh my god, it ruins.
See, I know quite a few of the layers of the onion, but that game is layers of onions within onions within onions within onions within inside in a watermelon. And you're like, what?
Well, it's a lineage game. You have to do the lineage, and then yeah. also you have to have goals like take over all of England and then France and then Spain.
Yeah, because if your goal all is. The
goals are what you want. Now the game tells you.
The game doesn't say this. There is no win. There is time runs out because the Middle Ages have ended. Or you quit because you've achieved the goals you wanted to achieve. That is when the game ends.
Or because the Aztecs attacked and took all your lands.
That was terrible.
It's historically accurate.
The Aztecs took out England.
They just like row across the ocean.
Yes.
120,000 of them.
120,000 Aztecs landed on the shores of England and immediately wiped out my entire empire.
That's what you get for being French.
We weren't French anymore by then.
I would pay to see that movie, by the way.
Oh, right. Oh my gosh.
Andy, your recommendation?
Anyway,
Andy.
My recommendation is probably going to be one of the first people to recommend it. I'm starting to like Preacher.
Oh,
Preacher is enjoyable.
Preacher on AMC. It's from my understanding from Brian, it is much different than the
pacing's different. Yes.
Yeah. But overall, so far, I like the characters overall. It's weird, but it's good.
Well, yeah.
I like it a lot.
The chat wanted to re-up. It's Crusader King 2.
Crusader Kings 2, yeah.
And you mentioning games on Steam reminded me that I will recommend something because the digital version is now on iPad and on Steam and will be coming on Android, but I love the board game version, which is Twilight Struggle.
I have it on the... If anyone has it on their iPad, I will play them with them. I'm very bad
yet. Cross-platform. When I get home, I'll buy the Steam version so we can play it again.
Nice.
And Brian has to come over tomorrow and watch us play Crusader Kings 2.
At some point, I needed to watch you play that game.
Also, tomorrow I'm doing, I don't know how long I'm going to do it. We'll see how long it goes. I'm going to do the Vault of July.
Yeah, do a survivor mode?
Yep, do survivor mode.
Here is my one tip for you.
Don't go melee?
No. When you find empty bottles, save all the empty bottles you find. You make a water pump in your base, and then when you go up your base and you activate it, it'll fill all of your bottles with purified water.
Yeah, when you go to any water source with a bottle in survival mode, there's X to drink, and there's square to fill bottle. Beer bottles, bourbon bottles, wine bottles, Nuka bottles, any bottle.
Which you
could
do with dirty water at a lake, but if you make a water pump in your base, you can just literally
fill. But you also have to.
I have like 20 empty bottles. When I get back to town, I'm gonna fill them all, and then I'm gonna just masturbate out of the joy of having 19 purified water.
It was always annoying to me in the base game, but didn't really matter. But it's annoying now in survival mode. If I have a Nuka Cola and I drink it, I get a bottle cap,
but no bottle.
I like to think you just you're
yeah,
you,
it just you, shatters
you,
on
you
a rock.
You drink it, you keep the cap, and you throw the bottle on the ground. Yeah, it's just a ritual that everyone has in that world.
Yeah, that's what they do in Always Sunny, right before they go to the reunion.
Yeah,
fair enough.
You drink it and you shatter it.
Quick question for Brian. This is a quick zappity grumble. We didn't have much today, so
okay.
If you had... can read it off. Oh, I'll read it off. Brian, if you had to break into a comic book shop and take an axe and a loincloth, would it take you over or under 5 hours?
I'm pretty confident if I tried to recreate what Nathan did, it would take me under 3 hours.
Boom. Boom. Mic
drop. Is
that
a challenge? You were level six.
There's a stream button on your goddamn thing.
Put up a stream button at the countdown.
You have to get grenadine, though, instead of booze.
There you go.
He doesn't even have to be drunk.
I feel like he should at least be high on grenadine.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I told him when he does the Scornisode, I'm going to come with him, and I'm going to drink, and I'm going to bring 2 2-liters of Sprite and 2 of the giant bottles of grenadine, and that's what Brian drinks while I get
I voice him. I'm not trying to avoid it completely. I do want to... So maybe we'll have some grenadine with that
for the Scornisode.
You know Scornisode. What's interesting is I have drinking soda since we gave it up, and I don't like it anymore. It tastes bad.
Yeah.
Lemonade's fine.
I definitely when I drink like a Mountain Dew and I have it for a long time, it's very thick and very like mucky. I could have a Sprite, some grenadine, because it's just sugar water.
You can always get some tonic water and get some flavoring to add to the tonic water to with the grenadine.
That's true. But anyway, I think we should do. I know that it was probably ridiculous, and I still get comments about how ridiculous it was, but it was super fun doing that. I'm really glad Nathan showed up, because having one extra person there made a big difference.
Yeah.
So I will happily do
I'm trying to get I want I'm trying to get Josh from St. Louis to come up, because Josh Simpson is a scoring player, and he's got a pretty good character about him. He's pretty ridiculous.
We got a lot of folks that are making some volunteers as well to do some of the casts. The hardest part, we're not ignoring you when we do these. The hardest part is thinking of a schedule for them all the equipment is at my place.
And they take hours to record.
Yeah, and plus we want to be, I mean, a lot of it's, you know, because we want us to be doing it with maybe with someone, but it's hard to get a lot of random people on there. It just makes it difficult.
It is.
How long was my minion episode last? Like, was it 6 hours?
For just the pigs?
Yeah, I think so. It was the... Holy crap. I think the convergence was like about 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I didn't...
You didn't do
minions. I didn't do pigs. I did convergence, and it was like 6 hours.
Yeah. We did a...
And so if I do full minions, I have to imagine at that pace it'll take me 12 goddamn hours to do the whole thing. Because
Legion
faction.
Only took me like 6 to 8, I thought.
Well, yeah, everything all you did was say unplayable trash, unplayable trash, unplayable trash.
That's not all I
when
did.
We got to infantry, you just set the book on fire and then pissed on it.
That's pretty much it. Seriously.
You won't allow me to burn any books.
I like
your
shepherds.
Cavalry was fucking amazing in Mark 2.
I like Forsaken. I like the pot.
Who's Terry Brooks?
Oh my gosh. We need to stop this.
All right.
Thanks, folks.
Goodbye, everybody.